across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late nights on Talk Radio.
Am I supposed to sing here?
Never know how much I love you. Never know how much I care. When you put your arms around me, I get a fever that's so hard to bear. You give me fever when you kiss me.
I've never met you before in my life, before tonight. Howard Hughes here with Hayley Hayes on Talk Radio. A little bit of a change of plan here because it is a public holiday, as they call them. So we're going to be here, and as I was telling Nick, my esteemed colleague, just before the news there, and I'm sure you'll agree with this, I think it's better doing these shows when this is not a regular unexplained show, okay? So my unexplained listeners, if you want to call in with an unexplained story that's happened to you, like the ones that you email to me all the time, then you can do it, and I'd be really pleased to hear from you, okay? I need your support. It's 0344-499-1000. On the Twitter, we're at Talk Radio, or you can text us, talk in your space, or a space, to 87222, and start your text with the word talk, and it'll cost you your standard network charge, and will be fine value for being that. So we don't have a plan, do we, Hales, you and me together?
We do. We have a plan to entertain and inform and educate, don't we?
Exactly. Educate, entertain and inform. That's the BBC. They're not doing a very good job of it at the moment. That's why we're here. Can I just say, David, thank you very much. You might have waited for this response, but thank you for your Christmas card. David has sent me a Christmas card.
Oh, he sent you a Christmas card?
Yeah, I've had two.
Wow.
I'm only here once a week, normally. I've had two. I've got one from David that has a spaceman and a Christmas tree.
Oh,
says Merry
that's
Christmas.
So cool.
And inside is a fridge magnet that says The Race into Space. And it's based on a stamp. David, in the Northeast, thank you for that. And Robin, in the Northeast of the United States, thank you for your Christmas card. It arrived. So that's all I have to say for now, really. But we do have 3 hours to do, so I'd like to involve you in this. I mean, look, I've got some ideas of stuff we could talk about. But to tell you the truth and to be perfectly frank and honest with you, we don't have to. We can do whatever you want to do. And I have a feeling we're going to go off on our usual adventure right now as we cast off the anchor. We cast off the anchor of safe broadcasting, and we head into the choppy waters of what happens between 10 and 1 o'clock here. That's a lousy analogy, but you know what I'm saying. We've got, for starters, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I used to do loads of these telly voiceovers. You know, the ones that go, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Jonathan Ross. Well, tonight, I've never done this for him before, and he's going to be shocked. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Alan Caddick.
The Big Double Issue TV Time. It's a new year. It's your guide to 2 weeks holiday programs on ITV and Channel 4. The big films, more than 80 of them. The big shows like Torvald and Dean's Ice Spectacular. Drama, comedy, music, it's all here. Play £200,000 winning lines. Line up with free modern Rolls Royce. Getting in it will start the new year and collect a free chain. Our holiday bonus could give you £200. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year with the Double Issue TV Time.
Evening, Alan. Evening, Hayley.
Alan, you are a top geezer. Alan, listen, if you may not be, you probably are into this, okay, but every time Alan comes on when I'm on, he's got me a TV Times advert, and usually one that fits the particular time that it is. So that was a what year was that then? Torvald and Dean then, Alan?
1986.
Was it? I thought they retired in 1980. No, they didn't. They did the Olympics in 84, didn't they?
Fire and Ice that year.
Right. Fire and Ice.
And also, Disney's Dumbo was on the cover as well.
Really? I can't remember.
The original cartoon, not the live action film.
No, I can't remember posing for that photograph, but there we are. Okay. Well, I mean, it still had that voice though, didn't it? Yes, there's so much more in the TV Times.
Hello.
We don't do that now, do we?
No, so, but Radio Times has tried to copy them with an advert for them.
Who tried to copy them? Hang on, you're going faster than my poor rattled brain can take now, Alan. Come on now.
And it's only Monday night.
God help us. I'll be into my stride by tomorrow, but at the moment, you've got to go gentle with me, okay? So.
Well, it's Christmas Eve tomorrow.
Is it? I don't know. It's just another working day for some of us, Alan.
But not Wednesday.
No, we're not Wednesday. Well, in fact, funny you should say, I'm so pleased you did mention that, because I will be here on Wednesday, in a kind of virtual reality, but we don't have to go into any of that.
Pre-recorded.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm much more interested in what's going on with you then, Alan, tonight.
Well, we've had the final preparations for Christmas. We've done all the shopping. It's all bought. If you haven't got it, you can wait till the new year.
Do you think so? Hey, listen, I was down the shops yesterday morning, and there didn't seem to be many people who were waiting until New Year then. The place that I went to, Marksies, it was heaving.
I went this morning to help Zoe, and he asked her, it was like playing a game of Hump the Trolley.
Is there, I remember, this is really left field, okay. Is there a place called Manor Way in Hales Owen?
Yeah, Manor Way, yeah.
Yeah, because I remember adverts running when I was a kid. My dad used to drive me through the Midlands back to Liverpool. And we'd hear these ads on the local radio saying, this weekend, an exciting weekend of Speedway at Manor Way in Hales Owen.
Like that. I haven't seen a Speedway track. I think it's near the Black Horse that is closed down now.
Has it? Well, you see, that is how long ago it is, Alan. That's it. So listen, is there a plan for Christmas Day then? You've got all your stuff in.
We've got one with... For me, me mum and me dad, because we've had a bad year, me mum has.
I'm sorry.
Aww. And as Hayley would know from listening to Ian, so...
Well, has Ian been telling you off again? I've been missing you.
No. Oh. No, I've been telling Ian about me mum and being optional and she nearly died.
But she's still with you?
Yeah, she starts dialysis in the new year.
Okay, well, no, that's good.
Kidneys.
Well, that will sort her out, Alan. You've got to look after her.
Well, I have been.
And make sure she has a nice Christmas.
I have, well, and it's a day off for me from delivering the papers.
You're not going to deliver the paper? I forgot it. You see, look at this. 2 months elapse, pass, and I forget all the detail here. Of course, Alan delivers papers. You've forgotten this, haven't you, Hayley?
No.
I'd forgotten about that. Which paper, do you deliver all the papers? Including
the Nationals and the Birmingham Mail.
Okay.
I'm a Sunday Mercury on a Sunday.
Oh, it's the Mercury. I'll probably talk to you about this. The Mercury. Now, you don't know this, do you, Hayley? Because you're a South East girl.
No, you've mentioned it on the show before, I do remember. You've had this conversation before.
But the Mercury is a good old-fashioned weekend newspaper, isn't it?
Yeah, traditional Sunday paper.
Exactly. All right. Now, have you got, hopefully you'll be back across this period when I'm filling in for various people on this radio station, Alan. But can you leave us, just as we stand here on the cusp, on the verge, on the tipping point towards December the 24th, Christmas Eve, when it supposedly all begins, have you got a message for our listener? One they can take away?
Wherever you're listening, if you ain't done it now, you're to it. But if you have done, just enjoy yourself. Have a drink on me.
Well, Alan, that's so kind. I'll make sure I do. Alan Caddick, listen, nice to hear from you. Alan, stay listening to Talk Radio because we need you and we love you too. You do. Have a drink on me, says Alan. I wonder if that goes, Hayley, for Alan, me, you, and our entire audience.
Yeah, that could be quite expensive.
They could all pop down the old Weatherspoons and say, I've got my money on me, but Alan in Birmingham said on the radio in front of millions of people that this gin and tonic... Or this pint of whatever.
Well, if it's on Alan, I'm having a champagne if it's on Alan, aren't you?
They still do Courage Best. Remember those commercials by Chaz and Dave?
Oh, no.
Urcha, a pint of Courage Best.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
I wonder if maybe our technical person, Harry, can find that she's busy at the moment.
She's
on the phone. Okay. Yeah. All right, should we go? I think we've started as we mean to go on, haven't we, really?
Yes.
0344-499-1000. We haven't got a plan, and frankly... I don't care, because it's Christmas and, you know, it's just you and me and, you know, Hayley makes three. Steve in, where's Steve? He's at Steve is in the Grand Union Canal. Steve, how are you, Steve? Isn't it wet there?
No, it's cold.
Whereabouts, the Grand Union Canal is a big place. Whereabouts near the Grand Union Canal are you?
Well, I'm near a place called Braunston, which is a bit of a mecca for boaters. It's a lovely little village there, and I'm not far from there.
Is Braunston a place where they have one of those, what do they call them, like junctions for the canals, where a lot of the canal boats moor up?
Yeah, that's right. North Oxford Canal is a junction with it, and a little bit further on through the tunnel there, we've got the Norton Junction, which will take you up towards Leicester. So it's quite a kind of A bit, if you like the Spaghetti Junction of the motorway. You
know? Well, I've got to say, that when I was a kid, all sorts of things happened when I was a kid. You know, we had steam trains and all. No, they didn't. We didn't.
Oh, I remember those.
But, well, I think they were probably just on their way out when I arrived in the world, but, you know, I can stick to that story. But my dad used to take me for a walk and a cycle by the Leeds-Liverpool Canal. And we'd have the big power pylons round there and the farmers' fields and all that stuff. And, of course, in those days, the canals were full of old rusting trolleys and all sorts of old stuff, old television sets that people have dumped in them. But now, if you look at places like where you are, you know, they've been modernised and they're really beautiful, aren't they?
Oh, they're fantastic. I'll tell you what, it's the best thing I've ever done. I've been doing it now for 18 months. And
are you calling from a boat? Are you on a boat?
I live on a boat.
Oh, you lucky. Do you know what? I'm so pleased I've spoken to you. Because one of the many thoughts I've had about my life this year is I've thought, you know, I'm getting tired of this hand-to-mouth radio existence that I live. I'm going to flog my flat off and I'm going to buy a boat.
Yeah.
Do you recommend it?
I couldn't recommend it highly enough, Howard. You know, I mean, I've been doing it for 18 months, like I say, and I'll never go back to living on the land again. When my time comes, I'll end it here on the canal, you know.
What's the best thing about it, about being on a boat?
Well, it's the slower pace of life, you know. All my life I've lived and worked in towns and cities, and, you know, I mean, like everybody else, you get into that living on the hamster wheel, if you like, you know. And coming off that and onto the canal, I mean, I travel the canals at 2 miles an hour. It's just walking pace, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, getting to a destination, unlike in a car where the destination is the important part, for me, it's the journey is the important part, if you know what I'm trying to say.
God, you're a philosopher. It's almost like life, isn't it? It's not the destination. It's what you do on the journey.
Yeah.
See, Hayley's got nothing to add here. She's gobsmacked by all of that.
Awe as well, because I think it's really cool.
Oh, it's cooler than
quite jealous.
You know, we tend to think, Steve, that there are two kinds of people who live on a boat. Those who've kind of worked on the canals and they've done that and they've kind of retired there and they do it on the cheap.
Some are born into the canal.
They are. I once met, here we go off down another little alley. There was a guy in the Midlands. I'll tell you this story, Steve. You've probably met guys like him. I interviewed him twice, 25 years or more ago. And the guy was a little wiry guy. He was known up and down the canal network of England. And he was about 5'2". So he was a little guy. He had he was 83, I think, maybe 84 when I met him. He was as fit as a, well, but almost butcher. We like to say butcher's dog, but he was a really fit guy. And he was leaping up and down those, up and down the locks and doing it all by himself. And he'd had an entire life. I think he'd met a girl when he was 15, settled down with her on the boat, on his boat, and literally made his living, this guy. And I can't remember his name, but he went from the East Midlands down to places like Watford and Luton and that way, which is that the same canal that you're on? Whatever it is. So
No, it's not. But
okay, whichever canal that was, I should have prepared for this. I wish I'd known you were coming on. But he lived on that boat, and he had, from the age of 15, he was with this girl, and I think he married her in the end, and they had a complete life on the waterways. And when I met him, aged 83, 84, he was taking people on tours and doing that kind of stuff. And we went on the boats by Burton-on-Trent. You know where they make all the beer?
I've been up there. It's fantastic.
Isn't it great? I mean, Hayley, you've got to try a canal trip at some point. I was with this guy talking to him. And this thing is probably, I don't know, how long is your average narrow boat, Steve?
Well, mine is 70 foot. It's a full-size boat to me.
Okay.
The only ones larger than mine are 72 foot, and they are usually the working boats, you know, the ones that you see with the cargo hold in the front.
Well, this was a working boat with a converted cargo hold, and it was easily 70 feet long. Yeah. And this guy says to me, and you know that they're steered by a kind of arm. It looks like a big arm, and you have to do, it's like a tiller arrangement, right? And I'm standing there, and I'm saying, so, you know, I'm in fact very young, very nervous, and thinking, what do I ask him next? I don't have that problem these days, you notice that, Hayley? And I'm saying, you know, how many years have you been on here, and all that sort of stuff. And the guy just wants me to chill out. And so he says, I'll tell you what, I can't do an East Midlands accent, but I'll tell you what, Chuck, he says, just take hold of this, will you? And I steered. It's probably against every law of the canals in the UK. He let me steer this thing all the way down towards Leicester.
Did you make it?
Yeah, I did. I mean, we had a couple.
You went in a straight
line.
We
had a couple of squeaky, a couple of squeaky bum moments where we had to, you know, it's like sort of 2 foot off the bank.
It travels so slowly, you know. I mean, any problems that come up, they can easily be remedied before they become critical. You know what I mean?
You may say that.
Well, no, it's not that difficult. I mean, it took me a matter of weeks to get confident with it, and I was driving the boat right from day one, but the confidence within a couple of weeks, it was there, you know.
I'm so pleased you phoned in tonight. Very quickly, because Hayley's my producer, and she's making circles in front of me, and it gets really boring after a while, but don't tell her, will you, because she'll only get upset, and she's got to produce, you know.
I'll tell you again at some point, because I wanted to speak to you about spiritual matters, actually.
Okay, well, let's do, I'm going to be on for a few nights. I can hear people going, no, up and down the line. So let's do that on another night, if you don't mind. And I'll do what I also was going to do now, but I won't do it now because we're out of time. I was going to ask you how you're going to spend Christmas. So we'll park it there for now, if that's all right.
Yeah, I'll be spending Christmas here on the boat.
Well, please give me a call I'm doing tomorrow night as well, if you want to, and a couple of nights at the end of this week as well.
If I call you tomorrow night about this time, would that be all right with you?
Yeah, I think we've got some. Yeah, we've got some guests and stuff. We'll just move them. That's fine. They can be anywhere. I want to talk to you about Christmas on the canal, and we'll do that tomorrow. So that's part two of Steve's. Thank you for calling in, Steve. You're a top man. So there's Steve, who lives on a canal boat. I'd love to do that.
You should do it.
You know,
I think that was serendipity. I think the reason he called tonight was to get you thinking about it.
So, you know, you know those days that you
That's
have?
What I think.
And I had, the beginning of this year was a bit fraught, you know. I was working for a number of organisations. This one's always been fine, one has to say. But I was working for another organisation. I was thinking, I've had enough of doing this. And if people heard me via that other organisation, they may well remember where that was. But I was doing that as well as doing this. And part of me used to think, you know what? I'd just like to go in one day and go to the boss like that. Have we got that on video? Just go
probably
buy a boat and just live on it.
Yeah, why not?
Because yeah, I've got a little flat and it's not worth a massive amount, but because it's in the southeast, it's worth more than it would be if it was in Liverpool.
Yeah.
So I could flog that, buy a top boat like Steve's got, and you know, just do nothing much. Do my podcast.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Do it.
The boss is not listening to this, is he? Just a thought.
Love it.
Because I don't care. You know, that's it. I'm so sorry. You need to keep me on the straight and narrow, don't you?
On the narrow boat.
On the straight and narrow boat. Oh, should they?
Gosh, you're good at this, aren't you?
0344, this is very good. Hayley, did you prepare for this? One of us had to. Oh, by the way, it's a good job you're that distance away tonight.
Why?
Because the only sandwich that I was able to get tonight from the local shop round the corner from here, they were clearing all the sandwiches out and they only had a cheese and onion. And the cheese and onion means dog breath.
Oh, sorry.
So if you're all right with that.
The aircon's on quite loudly.
But it was perfectly affordable. I haven't got to any of my ideas for the show. Maybe we'll just leave that till later, shall we? Should we take some commercials then, Hayley?
Yes.
Come on, produce,
not?
Will you?
Okay, 20 past. Bang on.
Thank you. It is 20 past bang on, but we don't give time checks at night. You know that. This is Talk Radio. I am Howard Hughes, 0344-499-1000.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late nights on Talk Radio.
In the night time, Howard Hughes, Hayley Hayes, and technical producer Hari. So it's Howie, Hari, and Hayley tonight. Yes.
Three
Where
inches.
Else? And the gardens.
You couldn't make that up, could you?
Of Japan. From Milan. To Yucatan. Every woman. Every man. Just give it a bit more, will you? Hey!
Hit me with your rhythm stick. Hit me. Hit me. Je t'adore, ich liebe dich. Hit me, hit me, hit me. Hit me with your rhythm stick. Hit me slowly. Hit me quick.
Hit me. Oh, God, Harry's joining in. Harry, our producer, short for Ang Harrod. She was singing there. You can open the microphone and sing if you want to. We could listen.
I don't think people
We need a bit of karaoke, I think. Christmas karaoke.
Excuse me, that's idea number four on my
sheet. I don't think he and Jury's the best one.
Yeah.
There was an Irish comic, though, who did a very great version called Hit Me With Your Shovel, Mick.
That's a good one.
We need to hit me with your shovel, Mick. Hit me slowly. Hit me quick. Our number here, 0344-499-1000. We are Talk Radio. It is Christmas, and frankly, anything goes tonight. So if you want to tell a weird and spooky story that is, you know, that would fit right along with my usual unexplained show, you can do that. We can lose Ian Jury now. Thank you. But God rest his soul. He was a great man. There was a guy, who was it on radio, who announced the departure from this world of Ian Jury before Ian Jury had died.
Oh.
And Ian Jury
did he hear
phoned the radio station and said, can you tell him I'm still alive?
Oh, that's brilliant, isn't it?
That's a true story. You look that one up online.
Oh, I love that.
And then sadly we lost him, but he was a great artist. I've got, I've probably mentioned this before, Hayley. I've got the 12-inch version of that. And it's probably worth money on Stiff Records. Remember them?
No.
God, where have you been?
Well, I think I was probably just not alive yet.
You've been
maybe
busily being younger than me. Fevzi Turkalp, the gadget detective, who was a regular guest on my show, has just contacted me. Fevzi, I will sort out that thing that you were asking me to sort out in due course. It's okay.
We're doing personal matters now.
No, we're not. We're taking care of business. That's what we're here for. On 0344-499-1000. That's our number. I've got your number.
I've got your number too.
I've got your number. Don't mess me
up.
I would
call you, but I'm busy right now.
Okay, I mean, I've got this list of things to talk about, but we'll deal with it later. Let's get Karen on then, in Greater Manchester, which is a big place. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Howard.
How's
hello,
everything?
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right, you know. I'm maybe a little hyper. I've had too much black coffee tonight, so I need to be calming down.
I just brewed up, actually. I thought, oh, after I've had such an awful day, I thought I'd better go and get a couple of coffees down me.
Well, I find that's the answer to I find that's the answer to most things, Karen. So, yeah, look, come on, as far as you're willing to share, I mean, I wouldn't ask you to share something you don't want to share. Why has the day been so bad?
Oh, plumbing leaks in the bathroom. Just as everything's absolutely spot on and all the decorations up and all lovely, ready for Christmas, I thought, what's this on the floor? A puddle. So I had to get the plumber. It took about 5 hours for the plumber to get here, and finally he managed to fix it. So it's all okay now.
Okay.
Oh, that's good news.
Well, I'm glad. What, did they tell you, though, what the problem was?
We only had all the new pipework and drains put in not, must be about 10 months ago now. And they just said it's probably just a minor problem in the main pipework.
Oh, God.
I don't think he was sure himself, to be honest. And I thought, well, as long as you fix it and it's okay and I can clean up.
It's one, I don't know about you, you know, I mean, I know I do this unexplained thing and I think sometimes things happen for weird reasons. But it's almost as if somebody up there says, okay, Karen, you think you're ready for Christmas, do you? We're going to give you something that you need to deal with.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
You're absolutely right. Everything serves a purpose and everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, but I wonder what that reason could have been. And if it's not a rude question and you're in a different part of the country, if you want to get a plumber down, I've got a great plumber. His name is, well, no, I better hadn't give his name up because he's very, very good and he's very, very busy. But,
and he won't be able to come and do and you. He's not doing everyone else.
Exactly. He's not exact. Well, yes, precisely. He's very, you know, he's very reasonably priced. How much did it cost to have that burst fixed or that leak fixed?
Well, I didn't actually have to pay for it. The landlord paid.
Okay.
Oh, I was going to actually ask. It should be covered under insurance, right?
Yeah.
Don't know.
Yeah. Hi, Hayley. Hi.
Hello.
You're listening to the legal phone in here with solicitor Hayley.
Plumbing hour. Let's do a plumbing hour.
You joke. We might end up doing that.
We could. Why not?
I mean, actually, I find plumbing problems fascinating. If I may share with you, Karen, I had one myself that worried me tremendously. When I do that Sunday night show, I had a problem with my system. Now, everything in my...
I remember you mentioned it, and I emailed you, and I said, roll on Monday when the plumber comes to fix it.
Well, his name is Ron, and he's a top guy. He might even be listening now. Ron Brown. Let's give him a plug. Sorry. Ron Brown. Top man. But Ron is a busy man, and I think he'd been away on holiday and he couldn't come. So I had to find a solution myself. Now, everything in my flat is years old. It needs to be completely ripped out and refurbished. I'm embarrassed that I am still living in 1982. If you look at my flat, it looks like something from, I don't know, Life on Mars. You know, it really does.
There might be some artifacts there. Something might be worth something.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't call them artifacts, but there will be things there that, you know, and all of them need to be cleared out. But, you know, a lot of the plumbing is, it's like a mix of plastic pipe. For a while in the 70s and 80s, they used plastic pipe. And you can't joint it these days. You know, it's a big... Cool. But I had a problem with my system. And in that old system was a thing that they don't have anymore. It was a, what do they call it? A float, it's a kind of float valve, or a ball cock, as we used to call them. A kind of float valve they don't make anymore.
That's right, yes.
So we had to try and find one of them. And in the meantime, on my Sunday nights when I would leave my flat, I'd have to try and make sure that I got this thing fixed up so that it wouldn't drip and overflow while I was on the radio. Thereby going down into the flat beneath me.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a very nice lady there called Nancy. She would not like me for that.
She wouldn't have been nice afterwards.
Well, I think, you know, relations may well have been a bit strained by that. But we got it sorted out in the end. We managed to find this old float valve. If you're a plumber listening to this, I would love to discuss this with you, son, because I actually started getting into plumbing in big time. I started watching the videos on YouTube and all sorts. And we found the right kind of float valve. From a 1970s plumbing system. He fitted it, and he did it without turning the water off, Karen.
Wonderful.
Did your guy turn the water off first? He must have done.
Yes, he did.
Well, there you go.
The bathroom, and then he was soon up and running with everything. Very capable. I just left him to it. I was so pleased that he'd arrived, and it was actually sorting it out.
Did you make him a tea and biscuits, though?
I made him a drink, yes, I did. Yes.
I once made a, I don't know if it was a plumber or, I can't remember, it was some kind of workman came in, and it was when I first moved into my own place.
Yeah.
And I made this guy a sandwich, and I remember my friend saying to me, that's quite over the top. And I was like, I thought that's what you did when somebody came and fixed something. And they were like, no, a cup of tea's fine, but you don't normally make them a sandwich. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, was he looking particularly hungry?
No, I just thought it's what you did. Like I said, it was my first kind of place on my own and didn't really know... Obviously didn't know, like, the rules of the road type
I made him a sandwich, gave him a haircut,
I know,
cup
right?
of tea, sent him out. He went out looking better than he came in. Look, when you find good people, you have to treasure them, cherish them, I think.
Well, I do with my, I have my own electrician, Dave. He's wonderful. I only need to ring him and he says, what do you need doing? He says, tomorrow or the day after I'll fit you in. And he does a fabulous job, and you tend to stick with those people.
You do.
Because you gain trust in them. Their work is good, and you can depend on them. And, you know, you just keep them. You don't find so many people like that nowadays, do you?
Well, I don't know what it is. And, you know, I would be interested to hear from my listener, but you don't. I wasn't going to tell this story, but we might as well. I had a guy, apart from everything else that's old in my flat, I've got an old boiler. And it's a good one. It's a Potterton. It's ancient.
Yes.
My parents had one like it, and they had theirs taken out about 15 years ago. And I don't use it much, you know. A bit of a miser on the quiet. I'm on the top floor, and the flats underneath me tend to heat my flat. But this thing.
That's right. Yeah, so I'm very high up in a big block.
So that is one of the benefits of living high up, because the heat from lower down rises.
Yeah.
And so, you know, please don't tell them, but your neighbours are paying to heat you. Unless they have very good insulation.
Do you use your neighbour's Wi-Fi as well?
No! Do you use your neighbour's Wi-Fi?
No, but I have done previously. Not in the current place.
Okay.
I just wondered if you kind of...
Did you guess the password?
I think it was an open one they did. It was in the didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah.
I just wondered if you begged, borrowed and stealed other stuff, or is it just the heating?
No, excuse me.
But I'll tell you something, Howard, it does get very warm in here because it's a communal heating.
Oh, is it? Oh, that's good, isn't it? So, that's all in your rent then, is it?
Yeah, it's between 80 and 90 degrees in here all the time.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, God. Don't have those storage heaters, do you? Because they boil you to death.
No, gas central heating with radiators, and it's in the summer when the sun's shining. Oh, wow, it's like a greenhouse.
God. And this guy turns up at my flat. We're talking about the difference between, you know, people who do stuff for you now versus, you know, your old people who you cherish.
Yeah,
this guy turns up at my flat. He takes one look at my boiler and his first word is asbestos.
Oh.
He says, I think that's got asbestos in it.
Yeah.
He said, I can't deal with
that. Not touching that.
And then he looks at me as much to say, you're a peasant. You're a poor person. You know, and he made me feel about 2 inches high, this guy. I won't mention the organization that he was with, but he made me feel like I was some kind of poor old git.
And I
really resented that. And I thought, excuse me, you know, I'm a professional person. I don't need to be talked to like this. I mean, really serious story. Anyway, he didn't want to know about it. Then he gets on the phone to his friend.
Yeah.
And he says, Dave, I'm a bit delayed here. He said, God, he's standing in front of me. He says, God, you wouldn't believe what I'm looking at here. God, it's got all sorts in it. And I'm thinking, you're wrong. I know that you're wrong. This thing still works. So anyway, he puts one of those stickers on it saying, don't turn this thing on, and leaves. And then I thought, okay, I'm not going to be talked to like that. He really made me feel terrible.
I would have felt exactly the same. It was not only horrible, it was very bad-mannered and rude, wasn't it?
Well, I actually think, I mean, I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt, but no, it was. It was really bad-mannered.
Yeah.
And he caught me, you know, sometimes when people catch you on the wrong foot.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm a Scouser. If somebody messes me around, my father taught me what to do. You know, I'll give it right back to them. I don't care.
That's right.
It's coming
out
now.
That's
however,
the way I was brought up. Yeah.
This guy came to my flat. And I wanted him to pass my boiler, which I knew was okay for one more year, so that one of these days I can have my flat refurbished if I don't have to live like I have to live now. So it's all in the plan. That's all I wanted from him, and it was still working. He says, asbestos this, and it's that, and it's old, and it's that, and I'm going to put a sticker on that.
There may be not. But the thing
is now.
Something, whether it, even if it's old, if it's still working well, and it's not causing many problems.
Well, look at me. I'm old. I'm working well. I'm not causing
still
any
going.
Problems. You know, I'm cheap. Don't cause the boss any problems. So, you know, if you use me as an example, I can't even say it. You know, it should still be going. So, look, my heart told me that my old boiler, my old Potterton, was still all right.
Yes.
So I contacted the organization, which is a very well-known organization, and I said, I've thought about this, and I really don't like the way the guy who came to my home spoke to me. I don't like him having a phone call in front of me saying, Dave, you wouldn't believe what I'm looking at here. God, I didn't even know these things were still here. It's got this, it's got that. So I just wanted him out of my flat, Karen.
Exactly.
So,
I would as well.
Well, I never complain. I'm one of, you know, British people, we just don't
too
complain.
English. I know.
I complained, and I said, I shouldn't have taken that. Anyway, they found a guy who'd had 35 years experience and had seen every kind of boiler on Earth. Okay, this guy had worked on them all. Comes to mine, he's there 25 minutes.
Yeah.
He looks at it, he says, no asbestos in there. It's fine. He said, the asbestos part in there has been changed. This is fine. Clean out the dust, passes the test. There you go. Thank you very much. He was nice. He was a tough guy. But he was good and fair and decent. 25 minutes, he did the job. Thank you very much. I'm back in business.
That's what you want. Yes, yeah, good. I'm the same. If I've had people come here and they've been nasty or rude, or even on the phone, you know, with a service provider or someone, I've usually rang through and made a complaint against them. Because some people, they think they can just talk to you any old way and do what they want, and it doesn't matter.
But normally they don't if they think there's a chance of getting money out of you, because that doesn't make any sense, right? If you annoy somebody, you're not going to pay this guy to do anything.
Exactly. Mm. Well, it was part of, I had a service agreement. So
I see.
It's
one of those
all
monthly
in.
Things
it's
you pay
a
for.
Monthly thing that I pay a lot of money every month for, just in case there's a problem. And there never is a problem with this system, touch wood.
Yeah, it's like an insurance, though, isn't
but
it?
But it just needed its annual kind of service, and I put it off because I'm thinking, you know, I know it's old, but you shouldn't do that. And so I called him, He came out, he looked at it, and he said, Dave, you wouldn't believe what I'm looking at here. But I'm sorry, it's just one of those things that really gets up my nose when people behave like that.
It would have done exactly the same with me. You did the right thing complaining.
And you know what I said as well? I said, and they were very, the complaints people were really nice. They said, I think he may well need some retraining here. So I think he may well have had a few words in his shell like.
Oh, that's good.
And I said, can you do me a favour? I won't use his name here. Let's not. Even though there are lots of people, I'm sure, doing that job with the same name.
It is not an uncommon name. Lots of
Daves. I just said, make sure he doesn't come back here, though, because I don't want to see him.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
So, listen, I've spent 5 minutes going off about that. Sorry about that. So, Karen, apart from your plumbing situation, why did you call? Did you call to wish us the compliments of the season?
Yes, I did. I just rang to say, Merry Christmas and all the very best for the new year to you, Howard, and also to Hayley and to your families as well.
Thank you.
I hope you have a great time.
Thank you. Whereabouts in Greater Manchester are you, by the way? Are you south north?
Stockport.
You're in Stockport, Cheshire, of course. I think we may have mentioned that before.
Right near the A6.
In the posh part.
And the view is fabulous from here. I mean, it's a very clear night and all the lights are all over the northwest of England and Greater Manchester and out to Ellesmere Port. It's lovely.
Yeah, I'm a northwest boy, so, you know, I like the northwest. Yeah. I have to say that coming from Liverpool, we didn't tend to go to Manchester that often, but I had to do some work there. I came past your area a couple of years ago. I did some work on a radio station in Oldham, which I think doesn't exist anymore, called The Revolution, and for a man called Steve Penk, who ran it. Had a great time for, I did a week up there for him and drove home, probably past your home, Karen.
More than likely.
You could have made me a cup of tea. I could have done some plumbing on the way.
If you do get round my area, please let me know and I'll meet up with you.
Okay. And
yes,
listen,
that would be great.
Thank you for your support and happy Christmas.
Yes, happy Christmas to you, Howard, all the very best for the new year. Good luck, health and happiness to you.
Oh, and right, what do they say?
You as well, Hayley.
Thank you so much.
And we say right back at you, Karen.
Yes, right back at you.
Right back at you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, lovely.
Nice.
Well, I'm going to wrap up shortly. My pet birds are all asleep. So they tend to go to bed about 9-ish. So I've just been catching up on jobs I didn't get done during the day. So
I didn't know birds actually slept, did you?
Well, I think they put their heads under their wing, don't they, Karen? You'll know this.
This is interesting.
They're budgies and canaries.
Are they?
Yeah, they're all asleep. They've all got their heads tucked in. And
there you go, you see. Can you put them in the same cage, Karen?
No.
Or do they fight?
The two budgies are together. The female isn't very well at the moment.
I'm sorry.
The vet's been again this morning to look at her, and he said she's picking up, you know, not too bad. He said she should be okay shortly.
They all have little personalities. My auntie Amy always had a budgie.
Yes.
Different budgies, every couple of years, different budgie, but they were all called Joey, which must have given them a terrible identity crisis.
Ringo and Lucy.
Ringo and Lucy.
Oh, brilliant.
Is Ringo named after Ringo Starr?
Yes, yes, definitely.
Thomas the Tank Engine.
Yeah. And the three canaries. Well, the one female, two males.
God, sounds like the three tenors, doesn't it? Pavarotti and the other two.
All separate cages. There was a confusion with the two males. We thought one was actually female.
Uh-huh.
Actually, this was at the shop. Quite hard to tell, actually. And he said, oh, it's not singing. It must be a female. But it turned out to be a male, so I had to split them up. So I've ended up with an extra cage. But it's a very big laugh.
Thank God you spotted that.
Great.
God knows what would have happened there, Karen, you know?
Oh, they were brawling. No end to feathers flying and screeching.
It's just like life, isn't it?
I had to rush out after work, buy another cage, and get him into there. And
life and relationships, they're all the same. Get a budgie, you learn a lot. Karen, thank you very much. Good night.
Yes, lovely to talk to you. I've emailed you. I think you may have received my email.
I will check. But I do see, like I say on the podcast, I see all of my emails. Sometimes I'm not as quick as I should be replying, but I do see all my emails. Karen, thank you very much. Happy Christmas. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
She's
thank
gone.
You. Yeah, she's gone. Sort of a staggered ending. Karen, thank you. Please support us here. 0344-499-1000. As you might have heard, and here's my list. Look at my list full of topics here. You know, I spent... Ideas is what I do. And there are... On this piece of paper, there are some ideas here. You know, Radio Gold you're looking at there, and we haven't got around to them. We talked about budgies and plumbing. If you can top that, 0344-499-1000.
Talk Radio. Get up to the minute developments of all the top stories. Late nights on Talk Radio.
Dubois to know we didn't start the station. I think we should have a song. We did this before, Hales, you won't remember. When we were on before, we asked if there was a musician out there who could make us a song. If there was somebody who could do us a Julia Hartley Brewer, Mike Graham, Ian Lee, Hayley Hayes.
And we did that time, didn't we? Because I remember somebody actually
there was a guy who actually made us a tune.
I've forgotten his name, but he was really clever. He got it done within like an hour.
So here's a tune. We got loads of musos listening, I know that. And some of them helped me with my unexplained. It was a guy who made me a theme tune. And musos are great people. If you're into your music and you want to make a tune like that one there that has all the names in it, like Julie Huntley Brewer.
You need to
Mike
be in there
Graham,
too.
No, I don't think so.
Well, you do.
I think I'm just a bit part player who appears and I'm like a character in a spaghetti western. You know, I arrive with the poncho on. I'm going into Liverpool now. I arrive with the poncho. Got a poncho on here. That reminds me of an old joke, by the way. Got a turkey for Christmas because I know Batman's got a cape on. That's a cape on is a kind of bird that you cook. And those of us in Liverpool remember a cape on. Do you remember what a cape on is?
No.
Batman's got a cape on.
So,
got to be a certain age. So if you're a musician, want to make us a tune, you know where we are. 0344-499-1000. Talk Radio here. We're just being silly, really. I've got a sheet full of ideas. If you want to stop me coming out with those, you know what to do. Charlie's in Bedford. How are you, Charlie? Charlie in Bedford.
Charlie. I'm asking. Hello.
Hello, Charlie. Are you all right?
Hello, sweet. It's funny. This guy had nicknamed me Charlie at one time. Name's Martin. I was wondering if you were talking to... Sweetheart, how do you cope with word blindness? Have you ever suffered it? Word blindness?
A word blindness? All the time. You know, I've never been... Even though I spent most of my life reading news, Charlie, sometimes I'll look at the words and I'll say them all wrong.
What I mean is, how do you cope with... having to speak and talk and speak all the time? I mean, do you ever get times where people talk to you on the telephone or, you know, and you know, I mean, how do you engage a conversation when you've been doing it for most of your life? I mean, when you listen to radio or TV, do you pick up on like 7 words out of 10 or is it 3 words out of 10? How many words would you say you pick up on out of 10? Do you follow me?
Yeah, it depends on how you're listening, really. If it's like somebody, I mean, talking to you now, right, is like meeting you in the supermarket, isn't it? Or talking to you as I'm filling up my car at the petrol station and, you know, we just say hello. So that's a different kind of thing. Now, going to a news conference and watching Boris Johnson give a speech, I've got to pay a different kind of attention to that because I'm looking for the bullet points of what he's actually saying. But with you, I need to know all about... I know who Boris Johnson is. You know, I know what he's going to say. Yeah, I have a rough idea. I know nothing about Charlie in Bedford. That's the difference.
They say that when a prime minister's elected,
that
they've only got like about 3 terms because they start losing the ear of the public. Do you follow what I'm trying to get at? Because I can't understand how... I mean, I find it fascinating how you can talk to people as a job 3 hours a week and still hold that. You know, when you come off air, you must have some way of defracking, dousing what you, other people. You must have a way of switching off, you know, because, I mean, it seems I'm a loner, so when I talk to people, I can't really, I always tend to rush it because I'm not used to talking, but I find it fascinating how people can talk and listen and talk back and things, you know. But
I've never been very good at it, Charlie, I have to say, and that's the truth. I had a boss in the BBC years ago, and he's not alive anymore, so I can use his name. He was called Bob Gunnell, and he was based in Brighton, and he had a jaw like this. And he used to say, he said, "You've come from commercial radio, mate." And we all use, you know, commercial radio is quite fast, and I like that. And I went to the BBC, five times of foolishness I've done it in my life, but I went to the BBC, and he said, "Let me give you a word of advice, mate." He said, he spoke like this. He said, "We're the BBC. We're not afraid of a silence." Now, a silence, you may think, if you pause when you speak, you may think it's 1,000 years. But actually, it's not. Not to your listener. So if you pause, that gives you a bit of time to think about what you're going to say next. And that's it, really. And you maybe get all tongue-tied and stuff. You don't have to fill every... I mean, look, I'm doing it now. But you don't have to fill every second. That's the thing.
I've never thought about it, but I don't make eye contact when I've talked to people. I'm a bit of a crook, you know. I don't really make eye contact, but I suppose that might have something to do with it. But the reason why I phoned up tonight, I'd like to hear other people's fantasies that they had as a child, where they believe that that they see fairies or no, not that. A fantasy where you believe something that's out of the ordinary. My fantasy is, I used to think that Freddie Mercury went to my school. I'm 51 years old now. And I used to think Freddie Mercury went to my school. I thought it was in my class and this and that. Yeah. And I didn't realize, the thing is, when he brought that Bohemian Rhapsody, it was so nuanced that it had that impression on me that even then I knew he'd become somebody famous like he did do.
What, Freddie?
And that was my fantasy. Other kids may have fantasies where...
Hang on, we just park up there. Are you saying that you wanted to be Freddie Mercury?
No, I believe that he went to my school.
Oh, did really?
Yeah, I did.
Are we allowed to name the school?
Of course we can.
Okay, well, what school did
it's
you go to?
It's probably on Wikipedia, I'm guessing.
What school did you go to, Charlie?
One in Huddersfield. Did you have any childhood fantasies?
Went to a school in Huddersfield?
Yes.
And you think Freddie Mercury went to a school in Huddersfield?
I don't know why, but, you know, it's just...
Maybe it was just somebody who looked like him.
Yeah, that's what it was. But the thing is, sweetheart, you know when he brought out the Bohemian Rhapsody?
Sweetheart.
When he brought out the video of Bohemian Rhapsody, it literally gave me nightmares, did that. And I've got a cousin, and he's like 20 years younger than me. Mm-hmm. And I used to have a nightmare where I saw a shadow of a little man walking down the street on the curtains.
And did you shout after him, "Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the Fandango?"
Exactly.
Hey, there you are. You see, we're on completely the same wavelength here.
Yes, exactly. And I've got a cousin who had nightmares, and the auntie said to me, he keeps dreaming there's a shadow on his curtain. And
it's very common.
He believed that you can have ancestralized dreams where, because you're from certain ancestors, you share the same dream pattern.
In other words, do things come back to you through DNA? There are people who say, and this is more for my own explanatory, but there are people who say that yes, what you are is within you. I mean, it's a bit above my pay grade at the moment to talk about that, but you can bring back with you, they say, memories of something that you had been. You know, I've got shadows on my curtains, by the way, Charlie, but that's muck.
You want to see mine? But you know, sweetheart, what do you think about DNA? Do you think DNA is a way of cutting us short? Because if somebody came out, well, William Shakespeare, he came up with a brand new words and mention and, you know, things to do with words.
I went to a what they call a secondary modern school first, which is like, I think there are still some, but back in the days when I went to a secondary modern school, that was the, for the one, they used to say, get yourself a trade, lad. And it wasn't until we became comprehensive that they introduced us to Shakespeare. And I'm looking at this language and I'm thinking, what's that? This is, I was 14 in Liverpool. What? Yeah, and in the end, I learned to decode what the man was trying to say.
Did you learn Latin at school?
No. Oh. Did you? I bet you did, didn't.
No,
you?
No. My mum did, though. That was...
You're joking. We did woodwork.
Oh, right.
We did woodwork. I was one of those kids who, you know, I got a chance to get out of all of that, and I was able to do it. I was very lucky. And people used to say to me, you want to go on the radio? He wants to go on the radio. People from where you are don't go on the radio. And I thought, I'll show you.
They're laughing now, though, aren't they?
I always wanted to be a comedian.
By the way, Freddie Mercury went to school in India and Zanzibar, so...
Not Huddersfield.
Not Huddersfield.
No, I know, darling.
Oh, just okay.
Do you believe, do you think DNA, right, stopped us... You know, like in the 18th century, where they start burn people for being witches and things.
Yes.
Do you think DNA stops us from... developing things that society isn't able to cope with? It helps, it sort of like taps us down, so we climb to a certain peak, but our DNA stops us from becoming somebody that jumps too high or too far because society's not capable of
answer to that question. I get where you're coming from. It depends on how flaky you want me to be. If you want me to be very flaky on the flakometer, then we'll turn it up to 10. You know, and I know, that there are people who say that aliens have interfered with our DNA.
Hmm.
And there are scientists who say that when you look at it, there are parts of it that you can't explain. Now, again, I'm not a scientist, and I can't give you chapter and verse on this, but, you know, that's one of those things that people say. I need to do some research.
Thanks, Alice, for listening to me. I would like to hear others' ideas of what childhood and beliefs they had, because I'm all for hearing other people's topics. You know something? I don't make small talk. How has it been? Has it come across okay?
You're fine. And you know something? Totally. You know, 5 out of 5, 10 out of 10, no problem at all. And I'll tell you something. As somebody who listens to people for a living, warmed up as we spoke and as you realized, you know, they're just being, because we're on the radio doesn't mean we're not like you. Once you realize that, you warmed up to it, so you do not have a problem.
Thank you. Take care, precious. Love you.
Take that from your Uncle Howard. Love you too.
Bye.
Take it. Bye bye. That's Charlie in Bedford. I know that was what they call a wide ranging conversation, isn't it, really? We touched everything there. But I have a feeling in our own little way we helped there.
Yeah. Haley. He was a nice guy.
Why am I doing all the talking tonight then?
What did he call you, darling?
He called sweetheart.
Sweetheart, that's it.
There's nothing wrong with that. What do you find? Now, here's another. Maybe we can pose this question before we get to the news, okay? Which you've got to do very soon here.
Quite quick, yeah.
Otherwise, we're in all kinds of trouble. In a world of trouble. What do you think about... I get emails from friends, guys, who put kisses on their emails.
No, it's a thing now. And actually, I've started doing it to people...
I don't mind at all. But I think it's okay.
Yeah, but also I've started doing it to it rolls off my fingers so quickly now that, like, even with my bosses and stuff, I end up putting a kiss at the end, and I think, oh, is that going to look weird? But actually, everyone does it now. It's a thing now. It's just normal.
I think it's the number of kisses, though. I worked with a guy a couple of years ago, and he used to send me emails with 3.
Oh.
I think 1, maybe 2's all right.
Oh, okay.
So you know, if it's a professional relationship, that's fine.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have done it 10 years ago, would you? Or even 5, really.
I once did it to my boss. I worked at Capital Radio. I sent my boss an email. Thankfully, he was a good friend and realized that I'd written an email to somebody else that I put kisses on and used the same template. And it was a business email. And his name's Nick Wheeler, great guy. And I sent him an email, and we just never referred to it. We both knew. Now, Hayley Hayes, Howard Hughes here, Talk Radio. Our number here is 0344-499-1000.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late nights on Talk Radio.
You won't have heard this tune before, but it's a top tune. I'm going to let you hear about this. This is what life is about.
Everybody wants an easy ride on the merry of that clear blue sky. And I was walking the clouds, feeling so safe and sound.
Is Jody Messina. It was a hit in America, country rock tune, 2002. It's all about life. You think you're doing great, and then something goes and smacks you in the gob.
Oh, that's nice and optimistic for
and
Christmas.
The song's called That's the Way It Is. No, but, you know, she's what the message of that is, that is she's tough. You know, my grandmother used to say, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Have you heard that before? No?
Yes. No, I have. Sorry.
What doesn't kill you?
Gerald... Gerald says on Twitter, did Howard Hughes and Hayley Hayes just ask for someone to write them a song? Yes, Gerald, we did.
We did, Gerald.
So if you've got that talent, Gerald, get on it. You've got 2 hours.
And we'll
an hour, sorry.
So it's not too tough. We'll widen it out. It can be, you know, just like a jingle. If you fancy doing a jingle, then you're on here. How about it? There's a challenge for you. Go ahead. Make my day. Michael in Tottenham says, do you remember Roger Bisby and the Fix-It phone-in? Know it, Michael. I used to read the news into it.
Oh, of course you did.
When I first came to London, there was a guy who used to do car... This was on the radio years and years ago, on a radio station that does not exist anymore and has been superseded by talk radio anyway. But they used to do this thing called the Fix-It phone-in, and they'd have a motoring expert in. A Dutch guy, Gerard Sauer. He was great. He would fix people's problems with their cars in a couple of seconds, and he'd say, I think you've got a problem with your carburetor. I can't do a Dutch accent, but your carburetor is not working.
It's close enough.
Yeah, no, he'd say, you know, he'd say, and embarrassingly enough, he'd gone out to the loo one day, and I'd just been reading the news, and I said, independent radio news. Then paused, did London's weather. The guy was still out, this guy, the Dutch guy, wonderful man. He was still out at the loo. So I started doing my impression of him.
Oh.
The next thing he walks through the door is I'm just saying, I think you're going to find you've got the problem with your tappets. You get out of that one. That is one of a million. There was another, if you want to hear stories, I got stories. There's a very famous, and a lovely showbiz personality who has, a bladder issue, okay? is somewhat incontinent, I believe.
Right.
So I'm at a radio station, and I know this about this person. Lovely, lovely, lovely person. And he's, anyway, they say, somebody says to me, I've got to interview this unnamed person. Do you know anything about him, Howard? And I said, the only thing I know about him is he's incontinent. I turn round, he's standing behind
me.
That's a true story.
Oh, what did he say? Or she, I don't know. Really?
Nothing. But I tell you, I mean, yeah, there could be a punchline to that, but I won't give it to you.
That's brilliant.
But no, that's embarrassing.
That is one of those moments that you just want the ground to swallow you up.
Well, yeah, you know, like 3 hours on the radio, mostly. Our number here, 03444991000. Gren Steele, thank you very much for the... We were talking about plumbing in the last hour, because we can.
It was plumbing hour.
It was... It was the Fix-It phone-in. We were talking about...
We need a sponsor.
Did I think about... I did look on eBay for a float valve. And I tell you what, Gren, I found one. But the problem was I didn't know how to fit it.
Exactly. Everyone always says that to me when something breaks at my house. They're like, well, you can just go on eBay and get a spare or an old part. I'm like, yeah, but I still wouldn't be able to do anything with it.
Yeah, I mean, if you buy one in like a warehouse, then they're about 70 quid. But if you get one off eBay, you probably get it for 40. But what would I do with that?
And then also, if you call up a workman and you say, I've got this part, will you come and fix it? They're not going to want to do it because they want to make commission off the part, right?
If I tried to do a repair like that, my flat would be full of, you know, it'd have more water than the yellow submarine. So I don't think it's a good idea. Okay. CJ, thank you for your vote of confidence. Did I mention Jonathan? If I didn't, then I should have done. And Ruth, you're there too. Our number, 0344-499-1000. Where are we going to go now? Let's go to Noah. Noah, sorry to keep you waiting. How are you, mate?
I'm okay, although I'm a little bit disappointed I wasn't able to source a C4 Maxi for Christmas.
A what?
Oh, what's that?
Is that a car?
It's a recreation of the Commodore 64 home computer.
Oh, yes. You're the gaming guy, aren't you?
Yes, among other things.
Okay. So why would you want one of them, though? If it's a Commodore 64, isn't it 30 years old?
Well, there's this company called Retro Games, and they they're doing a recreation of the C64 for the HD era.
Are they?
There are two versions. There's a mini one,
mm-hmm.
which came out about a year or so ago. And the other day I was reading through Retro Gamer and I found out that, they brought out a full-size version that has a proper working keyboard.
Yeah, I mean, I know what you're talking about here. There are people who actually want, and sometimes they source old ones off eBay and auction sites like that. But there are companies that are recreating them. The very first game, you know that one they used to do in pubs? What was that called? Pac-Man, wasn't it?
Oh, Pac-Man was great, yeah.
I think they've recreated Pac-Man now with the two little dots that go...
Yeah, it's addictive, yeah. That game as well. Really addictive.
You see, that's about my level, that, Noah.
That's about all I can cope with. I'm about average.
So anyway, look, you couldn't get this thing. So what are you going to do now?
I'm just going to have to wait until they're restocked, if they're restocked. I mean, there are a couple for sale, but they're north of £200, and the recommended price is £110.
But there is a point that you have missed here, Noah. You're on a national radio station. We could appeal for you.
Yes.
No, we could. Honestly, we could.
That desperate.
Have you got anything you want to swap? Because we could do like a Christmas swap
show. Are we allowed to do that? Are we breaking all kinds of regs?
No.
All right, then we could do a swap.
If you've got anything you want to swap, we could do that.
I don't think I have anything to swap, to be honest with you.
Because there's always something you have that somebody else wants, right?
Well, so, how about this? Yeah. If somebody knows how you can get one of these. So just say again what it is. It's a Commodore C64?
It's a C64.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll put that out there because I bet you there's going to be somebody somewhere, and you know my psychic side now is seeing Scotland. There's somebody in. I see Dundee.
Really?
I see a piece of cake that's a Dundee cake. I see Dundee. I think somebody has got one of those there. But don't hold your breath, Noah. I'm sure you'll get one in the new year, though. Anything else you'd like to say before you leave us?
Yeah. What I wanted to talk about was the Mandela effect.
Ah. And have you anything to add for my listener here who's not clued into all the stuff that we do on Sunday nights? The Mandela effect is where people have a different memory of the same thing. And it's named after Nelson Mandela because there are said to be people in this world who have a different memory of what happened. We know that in the news, Nelson Mandela came out of that horrible prison that he was in off Cape Town, which I've been to. I've stood in his cell, Robben Island, and went on to lead South Africa and, you know, sadly died. And now the country has its problems because he's not around anymore. But he was the savior of South Africa and, you know, ended that system that they had there that was unfair to a lot of people. But some people have a different memory. They remember him dying in prison, quite seriously. And then there are people who remember products that don't exist in the way that we know them. Like there are people who remember that Kit Kat bars have a hyphen between the kit and the cat. There are loads of and then there are people who have a memory of somebody will tell me what this is, a kids' TV show that they remember watching when they were kids, but most people don't.
No, it's true.
So
it's
there.
Interesting, isn't it?
That's what that is, isn't it, Noah?
Yes. Well, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine the other day, and he came out with such an extraordinary story from his life that I thought, No, that can't be right.
Can we tell it in about 20 seconds?
Yes. He remembers meeting Owen Jones in Swansea, and that Owen Jones was elected as a local councillor in Swansea.
Okay, and that didn't happen?
No, it didn't happen, which makes me think that there's been some sort of temporal incursion.
Well, on that note, on that bombshell, Noah, on the temporal incursion... I don't think anybody's going to come out with a phrase like that tonight. If you can beat temporal incursion, I'll up that with socio-structural facilitation. Temporal incursion. Thank you, Noah. We will talk again, I know, and I hope you get your Commodore C64 if anybody knows how to get one of those. Carl is on to us now here at Talk Radio. How are you, Carl?
Good evening, Howard.
What is occurring?
This is a spooky animal story I thought I'd throw in tonight.
Are you on speakerphone by any chance?
No.
Oh, just...
Is it loud?
No, it just sounds a bit muffly, but that's fine. It's not too
bad.
That's
all right, I can hear it.
It's all right.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Can you hear me? Yeah, you go ahead. You're all right.
Sorry about that.
It's all right.
That's a bit better. Thank you.
I go back to the mid-80s, around about this time of year, it was snowing, and I was out with my dog up in Cheam in the park,
mm-hmm.
and as we came back to the car, I saw another dog sitting there, big dog, he was just sitting there by the side of the road, so I didn't think much of it, and my one started barking, and anyway, we drove home, I was about 3 miles away, I fed my one, and he started howling in the house, and I thought, wonder what happened to that dog. So we jumped back in the car, and I took some food and some water back to the park. It was getting dark. He's still sitting there. So I went over there. I didn't know it was a big dog. It was a cross Rottweiler, looked like a Rottweiler Alsatian, big dog. Anyway, I put the food down. He ate that, and he ate another load. So I thought, well, give it a chance. And I opened the back door of the car, and they both jumped in. And that was the point, I thought, so I'm going to be St. Valentine's Day massacre, or are they going to get on? Anyway, I drove back, and on the way, I thought, well, I took him to Sutton Police Station, because
mm-hmm.
I couldn't have taken another dog indoors. And they booked him in, and I forgot all about it. And then later on in the evening, my friend came round, and we were having a beer. And there was something weird going on. And he said to me, have you seen, look out the window. He said, have a look over the road. This is God's honest truth.
Yeah.
I looked across the road and they were building a block of flats. And this dog was sitting there looking at my front door.
The dog knew. The dog knew where you were.
But he'd never been to my house. I dropped him off at the police station on the way back from the park. And the police station's a walk about 10 minutes from me. That's
I can't explain that. I mean, I know exactly the area that you're talking about, because I don't live too far from there. Yeah, I do. I know precisely.
The new one now.
Yeah.
But the old one is still opposite.
And listen, if you don't know, I mean, if you're a little doggy and you don't know the area, that's a busy old area there. To be able to find to be able to know you and find your home.
Yeah.
And this is a true story, Carl.
Yeah, because years ago, I rang up James Whale. He had a similar kind of thing years ago on that, when it happened, and I explained it. And he said, he thought I was telling a porky, and he sort of joked about it. But
well, you see, that's James. He's naturally suspicious.
Every day, nearly, I think about it. Anyway, I took him in. I thought, what's going on? So as I opened the door, he ran in. He came straight in the house
mm-hmm.
and just settled down in the house. He lived in the garage downstairs for about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then my mum...
Then did he pack his bags and go? What happened?
No, my mum used to get homes for old cats and dogs. You know, she lived in Clapham.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said to me, oh, I've got a lady in Weybridge or somewhere. She said she's rung up and asked for have you got a small dog? A small dog. I said, well, yeah, okay.
So you said, funny you should say that. Yes. I didn't find it. It found me.
Yeah, I packed his bag, I took him to Weybridge, and I said, he's not exactly small, but he's very friendly. And they saw him, they fell in love with him.
Well, I like a happy ending. That sounds like one.
Yeah.
But the story is that dog had some kind of special knowledge. How can there be?
I called him Kipper, by the way, because that's the meal I gave him.
You gave him a kipper?
I gave him a tin of kippers in his dog food that night.
Okay. I've never known of dogs eating kippers. Hey, that's a great story, Carl, and it remains unexplained, I think you'll find.
Yeah. I've got pictures of him still, but he lived for about 10 years.
A very knowing dog. I'm a sucker for these videos on Facebook. You watch one, and then another one comes up, and then you watch another one.
Go down a rabbit hole, don't you?
There's a woman on there, she's American, and she's got a golden Labrador. You might have seen these. And she's always teasing the golden Labrador. Like, the dog will stand there. I think some people call them yellow Labradors, but the dog will stand there, and she will go into a doorway and hide behind a towel, and then run into another doorway and drop the towel, and there's no one there. And the dog's going, like Scooby-Doo. I love dog stories. Carl, thank you very much. Happy Christmas.
Well, there's one other weird thing at the end of this.
Okay, if we can do it quickly. Oh, we have the time.
Next day, I went down to the police station. I didn't say that I'd got the dog. I said, oh, by the way, what happened to that cross Alsatian Rottweiler? Oh, he said he was picked up by animal home, the old paddy wagon, they used to call them, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, even if they let him out, how did he get back to me?
How would he know?
I don't know. I mean, after all these years, it still sits in my head, and I think about it all the time. But anyway,
it's a great story, and I'm glad it's got a happy ending as well. And like I said,
for taking the call anyway
from Haley and me, and Harry as well. So it's Harry, Haley, and Howie. Happy Christmas.
Same to you. Bye then.
Ta-da.
Bit of a tongue twister, that, isn't it?
That's like one of those old comedy acts, isn't it? Wilson, Keppel, and Betty. Harry, Haley, and Howie. Becky the Witch. We've spoken before. How are you, Tiddlin?
Hi.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. Just wanted to, first of all, say Merry Christmas to you.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Becky.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Becky. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. I just wanted to talk to you about, say, conundrum. It's an unexplained thing that has happened to me just recently.
Mm-hmm.
And quite a lot of it happened when I was in my teen years. I just have this, seem to have this weird thing with electrical products, like not working for me.
Well, all the time?
Or
only sometimes?
But not all the time. I would say about 25% of the time.
And do you find that things that have got batteries in them, the batteries drain quicker than they would for most people?
Yeah.
Okay. I've heard about that, okay.
Yes. It started when I was in IT, doing GCSE for IT. No matter what computer I used, it wouldn't work for me in the same way as it would do my peers.
I get that problem too, though, but I'm just stupid.
Fine. Computers would work fine for them, but they just wouldn't work for me.
Okay, no, they say something. Listen,
I wouldn't say I'm very techie, but I'm quite techie, so I know what I'm doing.
But they do say that some people have, like, you know, we're all, our bodies carry electrical charges. That's how your arms and your hands and everything else work. But some people have more than others. Maybe that's what this is.
Probably,
what do you say, Becky? You don't sound convinced. I don't blame you.
Well, no, it's just something that has always puzzled me.
What is the... All right, I'm sorry to... I'm speaking all over you now.
I can't trust you with electrical products.
Okay, I'm sorry for speaking all over you, but what's the most recent thing that you can remember that didn't work that you tried to use?
I can't... My old phone that I had, which is before this one that I'm speaking to you on now, it's hard to describe, it wouldn't work quite the way that I wanted it to work. The battery, as you said, the battery would drain very quickly compared to its, you know, other counterparts, if you get what I mean. Just certain apps just wouldn't work on the phone.
Well, they do. I mean, it's like poltergeist activity and stuff like that, which is mainly around, you know, teenagers and sometimes troubled kids. They have an energy around them that makes things happen. It may be part of the same thing. I had a friend at school who swore to me that one night he was at home and just for fun, he looked at a light bulb. He was about 14 and he said some rude words to the light bulb, shouted at it, pointed at it, and the light bulb exploded.
No way.
Yeah,
really?
It's true.
Oh,
can't tell you exactly what he did say to the light bulb, but it just exploded in front of him. And this was, I can even remember his name, and that's years ago. I think I'm safe to tell you the name because he went to live in Australia. Graham Brown. It's Graham Brown. You don't know Graham Brown, do you? Graham Brown told a light bulb to something off.
And it did.
Quite literally, Becky. So you're not... the message from this is, Becky, you're not alone. I think that's, you know...
I know, it's just really, really odd. Like how you were saying that your mate's light bulb would explode. Fuses would used to go just, you know, pop and explode, like, whenever I was trying to work a hairdryer or straighteners or something, they would just pop.
So, I mean, are you just going to accept this, or are you going to go and ask somebody about this? You know, somebody, you know, not me, I don't know anything about anything, but somebody professional.
I don't know, to be quite honest.
I think you should. You should donate yourself to medical science. laughing. You should. No, I'm not making light of this. You know, it's bad, isn't it? I mean, if somebody, say somebody gives you a new toothbrush for Christmas. I hope I haven't blown the secret.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, with a nice new set of batteries. And, you know, you want to get your teeth nice and white because you're going out. And it doesn't work because of the fluence that you've got. I mean, there's proof, isn't it?
Yeah, it is frustrating. But the reason why I'm laughing is, I suppose, you know, make a joke of it at the end of the day, I suppose. Because, you know, it is quite funny in a way. But it can be really frustrating. It's like,
okay, well, you can't remember the most recent one. There must be one that sticks in your mind where something has gone off for you. Just tell me just before we have to move on, as my producer's shouting at me to do.
Yeah, that's fine.
Terrific.
Yeah, last year I had a massive problem with my fridge. No matter what I would do with it, it just would not work at all.
Would the light just come on, or the whole thing? Because sometimes the lights go inside, don't they?
Yeah, but it was the whole thing, not just the light. It was just the whole thing. It's a fridge. Well, it was a fridge freezer. I've got a new one now. But it just kept...
Because that can get expensive, I guess, if you need to keep replacing stuff.
So please don't tell my fridge that. My fridge is 14 years old. It's one of the cheapest ones you can get. The light went years ago. I've got the freezer door held on with tape. That's going to be part of my refurbishment.
Yeah.
And it's still going. I have to keep defrosting it, but it's still going. God, what a sad life I live. Hey, Becky, happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Take care. Thanks for calling. Call again.
Thanks.
Call again, as they say, at the supermarket around the corner from where I live. So we need to take some commercials then, don't we, Hayley Hayes? Come on, produce me.
Yes.
Otherwise, I'll just gob on. Talk Radio, Howard Hughes here with Hayley Hayes, 034 with Hayley. Harry, which is short for Angharad. Short for Angharad, don't you know, from the valley. She's come to London. It's a den of vice and sin. You know, she needs to be going back there before it's too late. So it's Harry, Howie and Hayley here on Talk Radio. Our number here is 0344-499-1000. Call now and then you can shut me up.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late nights on Talk Radio.
Probably in most people's lives, 6 or 7 songs, maybe 10 songs that mean so much to them, mean so much to them. That's a big tune in my life there. I bet, Hayley, do you know what that is?
I know the song. I don't know if I know who it's by. Tell me.
Incognito.
Oh.
Incognito and Always There. It's a great tune, and it's probably 25 years old now, but I don't care. That's a great tune. We're going to be talking shortly, don't think you've got away with this, with Angharad, Hari, our technical producer. We will be talking with her in a little while because I've discovered some things about her. And we've only just met tonight. But you know, sometimes you look at somebody and you think, bet they've got a backstory. Boy, has she. So we'll be getting all that out of her. She doesn't know this yet. Oh, yes, she does.
She doesn't have a choice, really.
No, this is not a time for a toilet break. Harry, no way. Let's get, it's me. It's Kylie. Kylie's on. I knew she'd come to me. I met her once, you know. Kylie, how nice to have you on. Oh, it's Kyle.
Do you know what I was going to say? G'day, mate.
One thing.
G'day, mate.
Do you know, Kylie said two words to me that I will never forget. This is Kyle in Rochdale, by the way, long-term listener and also listener by podcast. Hope you're okay. But Kylie, I did. She's very little and petite, and she was sitting on a stool, and I was sitting next to her reading the news, and she just looked at me. I walked in, and she said, "Hello, Howard." That's all she said. And then I read the news, and she came across to me, and she said, "Can I read your weather?" And I just looked at her as much to say, "You can do anything you want."
You're saying Kylie yes to Minogue. Anything at that point.
You're Kylie Minogue, and I'm nothing. That's the only story in town at the moment. Yes, oh. Sorry, Kyle, I'm just going off on one now. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm good. I just had a couple of things, if I may.
Okay, anything.
To mention. So I was going to say, so Revolution Radio is still going. She works for it. So that's why I heard that.
Is it still in there? I mean, look, we don't need to be giving them a plug because we've got wonderful radio stations emanating from this building, including with Chris Evans, the mighty Virgin Radio. Plus, we have Julia Hartley Brewer, Mike Graham, and a cavalcade of talent on Talk Radio. But since you mention it, when Steve Penk was running that place, it was in an old pub.
I don't know. It's still an album, and I think that, and obviously, and weirdly, I don't actually listen to it now, only because
you've got Talk Radio now.
Because I'm always to yourself, Jamie East, various other people.
All the luminaries of broadcasting. However, yeah. I'll tell you about this place though. If you never went there, it looks like a bigger version of the Rover's Return, but it's a freestanding pub, and it's on a hill in Oldham, and it's not based there anymore. But if you go in through the back doors of it, there is a complete Rover's Return style pub that they had as a private pub.
Wow.
I have never worked at a radio station that had its own pub, and it had the taps and everything on it. I mean, they didn't say Newton and Ridley's, but they were...
That's brilliant. You'd never leave, would you? Because what else would you need? You could just finish work, go to the pub.
Yeah.
Finish in the pub and go back to work again.
See, you always wonder what I'm going to come out with next, don't you, Kyle? It's always a story.
I'm used to it. I'm used to it, but that's part of the charm, you see. This is why I listen.
I don't know whether I would call it charm, but it is something. Anyway, what would you like to say tonight, Kyle? You can say whatever. The floor is yours.
Well, thank you. I was going to say, I did notice in, I believe people call it Top of the Hour, it was talking about John Bercow doing the alternative Queen speech on Channel 4.
Oh, I missed that. I should know these things.
It's basically just that, really. So I thought, I didn't know whether you and Hayley would like to have, look at me dropping the H's, too long in
That's
London.
That's all right.
Whether
I'm originally from Liverpool, I used to do that all the time. I try not to now, no.
I always try and pronounce it, but I was wondering whether you and Hayley would like to have a burka off.
Oh, but what does that involve? I'm up for it.
So basically, you get people to decide which one of you, and I believe one of the phrases is odds.
Yes.
Odds, it sounds like odor when he says it, doesn't it? what's this in it? An odor. Yeah. I think, yeah.
So I didn't know whether you and Hayley would like to have a go at that.
Well, no, hold on. Let me turn the tables here, Kyle. Why don't you have a go? Come on.
This is more fun.
Come on now. It's the opening of Parliament. You've got to bring MPs. You know, you've got to bring them under control. So what do you say?
I think I did my best. I will try, but it's like, order, calm yourself. That's what he said.
Okay.
No, that's it. Because you need to scare people, don't you? You need to make them, like, stop what they're doing and kind of needs to be a bit more...
Does it need to be a bit X Factor? I can do an X Factor. I think they should have the X Factor. They should have... Order! Order!
Oh, there you go.
See, I like that, but that's cheating. You see, that's cheating. But if you want to have a go, Hayley, you see, I would.
Oh, gosh, I don't know. No, I probably can't. I'm too high pitched.
Use the voice that you use when you're telling me off when I'm doing things wrong on the radio.
Okay. Order.
Exactly.
That kind of thing. Sounds like I'm shouting at a dog or something, doesn't it?
And normally those words with Hayley are accompanied by the words you're out of.
No.
You're out of order.
You're so mean to me.
Nick Dubois, who was on before us, wasn't he talking about EastEnders before? I heard him talking about the glory days of EastEnders. Kyle, do you remember, like, they'd always, I don't know if there is one this year, but there are lots of good things on talk radio, so you don't need to watch it. But it was always like Frank Butcher standing.
Someone always dies on EastEnders at Christmas, don't they?
I know, but I just don't think EastEnders. I watched it the other week. I don't think it's as good as it used to be.
I was going to say this is so I was going to
love you, babe.
When you call somebody a pilchard, but I have been watching.
Leave it there.
Leave it out, Grant.
Sorry, I keep interrupting you with
I can do that.
Frank Butchers.
So I do watch the classic EastEnders every afternoon. I make my lunch, and I sit and watch two episodes on a TV channel. So we're up to 1992 now.
That's Barry. Barry's in there in 1992, isn't he?
Barry's
in the video shop.
Nigel.
Nigel, sorry, it's Nigel in the video shop.
Yeah.
Barry's driving a cab or something, isn't he? I forget what Barry is.
Barry was the Barra boy.
Yes.
He lived with Colin, but they're both gone now.
Yes.
And this is most modern.
And then there was Geeta and Sanjay. She'd say, "Sanjay, what have you done now?" Remember that? Sanjay was a bit of a ducker and diver. And Sanjay had it off with Geeta's sister.
Oh.
Do you remember that?
Controversial.
Do you know what? I've not heard that phrase for years.
What, had it off? I'm out the arc, me.
But, so I was going to say, and it's not, I don't think it's a massive spoiler, but Eddie Royal has just been stabbed in the square with Rowley looking on, and Nick Cotton shinned down Graham Parts.
Eddie Royal.
Nick Cotton, I remember him.
Yeah. Nick Cotton actually lives about a mile from where I am.
The real one.
What's his name? Dark hair. You know, Nick Cotton. We need to look and see who that. He actually and I see him on Kingston Bridge. I saw him about 2 months ago on Kingston Bridge. And I think back in the day, people always used to turn around and say, "You're Nick Cotton." And then, of course, there was always his long-suffering mother.
I was going to say, does he ever turn around to you and say, "Leave it out, Ma"?
John Altman.
Yeah.
Leave it out.
Leave it out, Ma.
Leave it, Grant. It was always, because normally we get to Christmas, and Phil and Grant would have a great big bust-up down the Vic.
Yeah, always.
And Grant would go off on one completely. And the most memorable one, was it Christmas? The most memorable one of all was when Grant threw a total fit and was being dragged into a police van. At the very moment, they went, boom, 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 boom. And that was it. And what else? There was Frank Butcher with his bow tie standing at Pat's door. Hello, babe, I'm back. it was so bad it was good. That's the thing about it.
I prefer the older ones. This is not your show. I'm at EastEnders. I prefer the older ones to now.
I met Angie. If we want to go right back, what's her name now? She's married to the guy from Queen. They live in Wapping. They've got a terrier, and they drive a. No, I'm kidding now.
It's Angie. Like your specialist topic is
Angie, married to Brian May.
Yeah.
Ange, what's Angie?
Anita Dobson.
I met Anita Dobson. She was lovely.
Anyone else you need me to look up while I'm here?
No, sorry. I'll come back to you.
Do you not think they started to look alike now, Howard? I mean, they have been together about 30-odd years, but they have bought the same
hair. It's the hair.
It's the hair that does it. Although he's gone a bit grey up there, hasn't he?
Yes, I did notice that.
I've been trying to get him. I have to say, if you know Brian May, I've been trying to get him on my show because he's an astronomer. You know, he's into the stars.
Yeah.
He's like John Culshaw, who I have known for years. He's what John Culshaw does when he's not doing fantastic impressions. He's got a big telescope. He's looking at the stars. He's an astronomer.
They both pop in or they've appeared on the sky at night, haven't they? At various points.
Do you know what? I was so entranced by all of that, I've just very nearly taken a swig out of somebody else's cold coffee. How vile is that?
Oh, nice.
I'm going to throw.
Cole, didn't you come, just sorry to go off on a tangent, didn't you come in here last weekend? Stuart told me.
Well, he's asking, why do you need to ask?
Stuart mentioned it.
That was classified in fact. Stuart was everyone was lovely. Stuart and Sam and
what were you doing? You mentioned it on Facebook. Now it's all coming back to me now. What did you do?
Basically I do a quiz every week, and the winner of the month goes forward to the grand prize finale. So I was actually, and different people didn't make it for different reasons, but me and another lad, and I can't remember his name now, come on the phone. But he was really, and so both of us came in, and you know, I don't want to say Hayley, but I did win.
Oh, you did win.
I did.
Let me just put that out there. I was the overall winner of
and
the.
When we say in what sense do we mean win? Did they give you something?
Did you win anything?
It's very hard to get something out of this lot.
It was Jamie's box of prizes.
Well, I'll be. And what was within then? What's inside Jamie's box of prizes?
Oh, there was loads of like Funko Pops and a drone, and I think I went.
You got a drone?
I didn't go for the drone. I went for the Star Wars Blu-rays and the Amazon Fire Stick 4K.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I take back everything I said. They're not mean.
It was good fun. So weirdly, for one day only, I was actually sat in the studio. It's very weird, but it's very much fun. Good.
So how's Christmas in Rochdale?
Well, do you know, this was the last thing I was going to ask you about, because I've made a terrible mistake, both of you. So basically, I bought all the food over the past couple of days, and I have no discipline. So, like, some nice cheeses, cheese board, you know, some nice platter of meats. I'm just eating a lot.
You haven't.
Oh, God, you peaked too soon.
Oh, you haven't.
Yeah, I have.
Does that mean tomorrow morning, you know, 7:30, you're going to be up at Marksy's?
I think, well,
buying it all again.
Waitrose.
Well, I might do that, but I think you might possibly get this reference, Jeremy. Howard, which I know, you see, force of habit. I do think on Christmas Day I will be eating like a dripping butty, because I've eaten all the good stuff.
You've just done it early, that's fine. It doesn't matter. The day doesn't matter.
I mean,
right?
If you want to hear a really sad story, part of my weekend was taken up with trying to be one of the few people to get his hands on a Marks and Spencer Christmas dinner complete microwave for one.
Oh, nice.
Okay, which is when you're working through Christmas like what I am, the Christmas dinner for one from Marksy's is vital. So I turn up there at my local one at 7:30, on Saturday morning, and they're just about to open. It's 8:00, and I say, I'm in time, aren't I? I'm going to get one, because they don't have a lot, you know. And they said, sorry, the van was delayed, and it's going to take us a couple of hours to unload it, and they may be at the back. So the next morning I was up 8:00. This is a true story, and I raced there. They had three left. Three. I bought two of them. I'm sorry to the one person I deprived. So in my fridge at the moment, the fridge, you know, the fridge that barely works, the one I have to keep defrosting, I have got two Marksy's Christmas dinners for one. I bought some separate sprouts, so you should be very pleased that you're not
going
to be.
Oh, you don't like sprouts.
I love sprouts.
No.
Oh, come on, Kyle, defend me.
Please,
do you like sprouts?
Do you know what? I've never liked them until about 2 years ago, and I discovered the secret is to roast them, not boil them like everybody else does.
Oh.
And I can't do that. I just have to put them in the microwave.
Right.
That's all I know.
I can tell you now.
My microwave's got rust in it. Sorry.
So one of the things that I did do, and some people have pointed out, and I'm not saying you're stuck whatsoever, Howard, because this was aimed at me, I did buy one of the Christmas dinners for one, because this year, and this is very, very sad, and Hayley will be like, cut him off, because for the first time ever, it's got cauliflower cheese on it, which it never normally has.
Cauliflower cheese with a Christmas dinner?
Hang on, was it meant to be that way?
Yeah. It's the. Do you know what? Afterwards, I will tweet a picture into the studio.
Are you sure that's not bread sauce and you just need a better pair of glasses?
No. But the first time, cauliflower cheese. And I will also say that I zhuzzed it up a bit. I think that's the right term. Because you only get two pigs in blankets, so that's not enough.
Mm. Oh, it never is it?
You've got to buy extra.
Yeah,
I've got
you're
extra.
You're always extra.
Stuck an extra four on and a couple of Yorkshires. Beautiful.
Oh, yes. Nice. You know, I've also got the extra potatoes. Once a year, my oven goes on, and, you know, Christmas Day is that day.
Can I say, obviously, I know, you know, you can't be sponsored or whatever by any firms or brands. But
no, we have to say there are lots of other fine supermarkets available, not only the one I mentioned. There's Waitrose and Sainsbury's and all the others.
But I was going to say that the Marks' one really is quality and value.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I'm sure the man from Waitrose who's listening to this would say, and so are we too. as would the man from Sainsbury's and the woman from Asda as well. And the man from Uncle. There's another dated reference for you. Kyle, listen, stay with us across Christmas, won't you?
Yes, I'm sure I'll be knocking about tomorrow as well. So thank you.
Okay. I'll be here. We're going to be talking about various things tomorrow. I'm not quite sure what we're going to be doing. But hell, that's half the fun of it. Have a good night, Kyle. Merry Christmas.
Ta ta.
We are Talk Radio. Hari, my technical producer, Angarad, don't think you've got away with it because you're going to be telling your story on here, but not right now. All right? Because we have to bring you back into the fold here. You haven't been behaving as you should, and we know.
Nothing of the sort.
Well, I'm pleased to hear it. Talk Radio 0344-499-1000. Howard Hughes, Hari on the buttons, Hayley on the telling me off.
Talk Radio.
Get up to the minute developments of all the top stories. Late nights on Talk Radio.
Great top tune, thank you. I got it. You're doing so well on the music tonight. I think we're going to keep you. You're a fine, fine figure of a woman playing wonderful music there. Boogie tunes. And that's Rochford, isn't it? Isn't that Rochford? Is that Rochford?
Rockwell.
Yeah. Rockwell. And you're somebody who made computer chips. Was it you who wrote on my screen here, my sister-in-law shouted at Brian May to stop playing guitar?
Yeah, so what it was is she used to work in a pub in central London and she was upstairs staying in it and she was, what was it, middle of the night, just finished a shift, about 3-4 in the morning. She could just hear someone twinkling away on the guitar wandering down the road. So she just popped her head out the window and I'll give the PG version of just, you know, will you stop playing that bleeding racket? She looked out, just seen a big quaff of hair, Brian May, and he's gone, oh. And then just kind of just wandered off into the night.
Well, wow. I hear he's a very nice man. He's not the kind of man who would say, do you know who I am?
No. I just like the idea of someone being, you know, how many people shouting are being able to
shout at
him,
shut up.
Yeah. Brian May,
that's
shut
probably
him.
The first time and the last time anyone's shut ever told me to shut up. Normally people kind of say, one more, keep going.
That's like me picking up the phone at a place I once worked. And I may well have told this story before, but I picked up the phone and I said, I was a bit under pressure that day.
Yeah.
And I said, hello? News, if you want to scare somebody witless, then all you do is you pick up the phone. If you're in the newsroom, you go, news, God. And that frightens them. News, he said, oh, hello, it's Elton here. What? Guess what I said? Elton who? I did.
Oh, you didn't.
And you know something? He was, I'd love to talk
to
him.
What did he say? I'd love to know.
I said to him, oh, he said, Elton John. I said, Elton, how are Watford doing? So they do. We had a little talk about Watford. And he was lovely. He was very, very nice.
What was
man.
He ringing to tell you a story that?
No, he was calling.
Him,
wasn't
or?
Calling for me. He was calling for one of my colleagues. He wouldn't be calling for me. Oh. I don't think so. But no, Elton's great. I saw Elton.
I thought
too.
He might be responding to one of those ads that say, "Got a story? Call the newsroom."
The gosh darn. If you had an accident that wasn't your fault.
You could have styled
every
it out.
Damn day.
If you'd remembered his proper name. I can't remember his real name.
Oh, it's Reggie Yates
Reginald
or something.
Dwight.
Yeah,
Dwight.
He could have been like, oh, sorry, yeah. Reginald.
He's Reginald Dwight, who changed his name to Elton Hercules John.
Oh, Hercules is brilliant, isn't it?
Isn't that fab? I mean, I was beautiful. A fan of him all through the years. That interview, did you see that interview with him recently? Was brilliant. The one that, that person who I can't remember did.
I need to go on Wikipedia again.
I know. It was a great Elton
Making
John interview.
Me work for
oh, no,
my
it
money.
Was done by Graham Norton. Of course it was. It was done by Graham, the man who invented internet security, Graham Norton, did it.
He's very talented, isn't he?
He's enormously talented and well rewarded for it, I understand. But no, if you haven't seen that interview, that was great, because that just goes to show what a nice guy Elton John is. Not that I'll never have any contact with him again.
You never know.
For all I know, Elton, if you're listening to this,
call the newsroom.
You know, we need to just call us here on 0344-499-1000, and you know, I'd love to speak with you and basically say sorry. Just say, I'm very, very sorry.
Harry would fall off a chair if somebody called in now and
yes,
said, hi, it's Elton.
I'm gutted. We've got some. At that, you see, it's on my list of stories here for tonight that we can't do. I was going to do head transplants. They're going to do head transplants. And
right.
I was going to ask you, not you. Well, I can ask you, if you like.
You can ask me if you like.
But you know, I was going to ask you at the other end of the radio, if you could have somebody else's head, who...
Harry's sorry. Thinking, I'm pleased we didn't get to that topic now.
Sorry, no, that's my... That's... No, if you could have somebody's head stuck on your shoulders, you know, whose would you have? I think I would have Richard Gere. because, you know, because basically...
It's not all about looks, though, is it? Richard, it's about the brains, too.
Well, I know. I have no idea what my brain and Richard Gere's face.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, basically. Right. Because Richard Gere is basically what I should have been. And
you were just mixed at birth.
And what's happened now is because it went wrong.
Right.
Heddy says, where do I send the jingle MP3? Heddy, I didn't know it was you. I'll get my, why don't you, can you call us, Heddy, on 03444991000?
Play it down the phone.
We can talk around, you can play it to us that way. You know, either that or you can send us the sound file, but I'd rather talk to you. Come on now, Heddy. We've known each other for so long. And you know, I'm not going to be here forever. I'm just here for what we used to say in Liverpool, a dog's watch, which is no time at all. Andy says, Howard, you're a legend. Well, I think the boss may have several other words for that, Andy, but thank you. Thank you for your support. 0344-499-1000 is our number. Let's get to CJ, who's waited patiently. CJ, I'm sorry to keep you waiting. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I've actually got a quiz for you. Pertaining to the previous phone call. An actual quiz.
Go on,
with
then.
You and Hayley.
Oh, another quiz.
Yeah,
How many questions?
Sorry. Three questions.
All right. Go on then.
First one for you, second one for Hayley, and the third one's for you. However, if you get that wrong, then there's a fourth question that goes to Hayley. That's a decider.
Okay, I thought you were going to say there's a forfeit. I was getting worried then.
Oh, God. Are you ready?
Oh, yes,
ready.
Question one.
Let's do this. Question one.
I know that tune. I can name that tune.
This is good.
Okay, question number one. King Tutankhamun. How did he die?
Peacefully, in his sleep.
I'm afraid that is not the right answer. You get one more guess.
He was tortured by the pharaohs.
That's not the right answer, I'm afraid.
He was picked up by the gendarmes, no?
He broke his leg, and his leg got infected, and he died because of the infection.
Okay, well, now I have to say, CJ, that one wouldn't be on the tip of your tongue now, would it?
You'd have to know
well,
that.
There you go. There you go. I knew it.
You're a better man than me.
Well, you've got the answers in front of you.
All right. You're going to do your talent then for question two. Question number two.
Okay, are you ready for question two, Hayley?
Yes, I am, CJ.
Okay, question number two.
Yeah.
How did Julius Caesar die?
Oh. No, this is my question before you answer it. I don't know, but I want to make up an answer that sounds like I'm almost there, but I have no clue.
Look at the films, the famous scene where he's in...
You're giving her clues. You didn't give me clues.
I know, but, you know, I like Hayley a lot. She's lovely.
So he was assassinated.
You looking that up?
It's the right answer. It's the right answer.
That's not fair.
It is fair.
It's fair. It happens.
Always fair in love and war, my friend.
I mean, if you want to do it that way, we'll start doing it like the two Ronnies then, answering the question before last. What a Burks.
I would have got one more question for you. This is a deciding question. If you get this right, then the last question goes to Hayley. If you get this wrong, then Hayley is the winner. So
as my grandmother used to say, I'm all ears.
No pressure.
How did Cleopatra die?
I don't know. Somebody gave her the needle. it was the asp, wasn't she? Was bitten by an asp, wasn't she?
Correct!
There you go.
We're equal now. Okay, so is there a tiebreaker?
Because I remember she said, didn't somebody say to her, kiss my asp, and she died? Just for our listener here to clarify things, an asp is a sort of snake.
Yeah.
You have to clear that. well done, Howard. You're back in the race. Oh. I'm glad you are, because you deserve to be.
Well, it's the only thing I've achieved this year.
But this is the decider now, and it's going to Hayley, so it's a really difficult one. You ready?
Yes.
Okay. What is your favourite colour?
Pink!
That's really fair. Thank you, CJ. I love you. Thank you, CJ.
You're welcome. Correct. Sorry, Howard.
It's all right. You're not going to find me sitting in the corner crying. I'll just take it on the chin. That's all.
But
better luck next time, Howard.
But don't think I won't remember you
what
for next
time. What
do I
win, CJ?
I shall print. I shall make you a certificate, and I shall send it in to the studio, and then you have to print it off and stick it on your wall.
I'll frame
that
it.
Was very
thank
good.
You.
You worked on that. That was very good. Thank you, CJ. Happy
thank
Christmas.
You. Thank you. Good
Happy
night.
Christmas.
Happy Christmas,
good
CJ.
Merry Christmas.
Great questions. Great questions.
I
don't know why I remembered how Cleopatra died, but you know, I just did. Jonathan in Worthing. Jonathan says nice things about you, Hayley. Oh, and some nice things about me, too, which is very sweet. 0344-499-1000 is our number here at Talk Radio. I am Howard Hughes. Did I thank Robin for the card, Robin in America? I think I did. I'm getting forgetful. It's my age. You know, I'm forgetting. What was your name again?
I don't know. Even I've forgotten.
Oh, Harry, we've got time, I think, before we do news. Have we got time to talk to Ari?
Yes, of course we do.
And Danny.
Danny after the news.
In Kilburn. Stay where you are because we'll come straight back, straight to you. Straight to you. We'll get straight to you after the news. Harry.
Hello.
I'm Harrod.
Hello.
You sound like a London girl.
Yeah.
But you ain't, are you?
I mean, I was born in Camden, so I am.
Okay, but you lived
in...
But
then my dad's Scouse, so I feel like I kind of... I've got
the
Scouse sensibilities about me. It's quite nice because I've got.
So we are the same in reverse.
We are.
Because I was born in Liverpool and lived in London.
Ah.
And you've got that connection and the same place in Liverpool, Bootle.
Yeah, Bootle.
Bootle's great.
I love Bootle.
So, you know what they say about Bootle? They're salt of the earth, Bootle. Great.
Oh, we are.
3 miles outside the city centre, thereabouts. My father worked there. He was a policeman in Bootle years ago. All the shopkeepers knew him, you know. They'd also, when I was a kid, I'd go into all the shops and they'd say, "Ah, Mr. Hughes, how are you? Brought your son to see us, have you? Look at him, he's growing, isn't he, eh?"
When was your dad a copper?
When was my dad a copper? In the 70s-ish.
Oh, he's probably nicked my dad a few times then when my dad was in his youth.
Was he the one nicking the lead off the church roof?
I don't think he was that bad, but he did like to get up to trouble.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
but
yeah.
The funny thing was that my father, you know, they loved him. The people that he nicked loved him. There was a kind of respect there. You know, there wasn't the crime like there is now. But we'd be walking down the street and somebody'd say, "All right there, Mr. Hughes." And my dad would go, "All right.
All right."
And then my dad would say, "Nicked him." It's true. And the other thing was, I remember from school, I went to the police station and my dad was going to take me home from there when he finished his shift. And there was a guy there saying, he was being booked for some crime. Yeah. And he said, "Oh, please don't arrest me, officer." He said, "My mother's a sick woman and my father's a very religious man." Long ago and far away. You see, they don't do things like that anymore. No. If you want to add to this, if you want to get in touch with us and say anything you like, 0344-499-1000, Howard, Haley and Harry, only on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late nights on Talk Radio.
What's a hoople? If they were Moth the Hoople. I know, that's all I know about them. All the young dudes. There was a story at the end of the news, Hayley Hayes, and you know, because I did news for years, I never refer back to it.
It was a bit of an am finally. It did have a sentiment to it, though.
No, I missed the beginning of it. Somebody was on the toilet for three hours after a chicken corner.
Yeah.
God, I've been there. Well, not the same
Okay,
toilet,
moving on.
Oh, dearie.
Too much information. No, TMI.
I'm sharing with my listener. Isn't that supposed? You were telling me that's what it's all about. Shane in Sydney. Shane in Sydney tells me on the Twitter that he's at Westfield Bondi Junction doing his last minute Christmas shopping. It's crowded there in Sydney. 11 a.m. in the morning tomorrow. Well, it's today now. They're 11 hours ahead of us kind of stuff. I might call into the... All right, don't rub it in, Shane. I might call into the pub on the way back.
Oh.
I've got to see Sydney again, just once in my lifetime. Last time I went there for work with Chris Tarrant, and because I was working there, I didn't really get the time to see it. So I want to go back and properly see Sydney. You lucky man, Shane. Terry Terry, I'd love to speak with you, Terry Hughes. Is that you texting Terry? I don't know. Terry
do you know
Hughes
how said, to put your phone on
yes,
silent?
Yes, I do. I was trying to check something. I wanted to name check some of the people who've been contacting me and us through my Facebook page, the official Unexplained Facebook page, including Ashley, Darren, who else? There are loads of them. There's Isabel. Isabel says Happy Christmas. Thank you, Isabel. And, I mean, too many at the moment. Cheryl Lynn and Joanne and Susan and Gavin and Lee and Paul and Jackie and Chris. And there are loads, but thank you very much. It's nice to do. And, you know, I did mention to my unexplained listeners that we'd be here doing this tonight. So it's fine. It's all right. Yeah, now we got the story from Angara, didn't we? I don't want to lose my place here. We've done that bit.
Yes, we've done that.
Okay.
That was only 5 minutes ago.
I know that.
Is your memory that
short-term
bad?
Short-term memory. Sorry, what was your name again?
Blimey.
So anyway, I've got my list of stories here.
I don't think we need them. We've got callers.
Oh, all right then. All right.
You can read a story to send yourself to sleep tonight. How about that?
I'm probably doing that now. Danny in Kilburn. Listen, I'm sorry to keep you waiting, Danny. How are you?
Yeah, it's quite all right, Howard. Never spoken to you before. But, the name rings a bell from a long time ago. But that was another Howard Hughes, wasn't it?
There was the one who lived as a recluse in a hotel for years.
Before the Unexplained with Howard Hughes.
Long before the Unexplained.
Anyway, so I'm getting an echo on this. I don't know why, but there you are.
Sorry?
Yeah,
sorry.
I originally phoned up. You were saying you had a plumbing problem earlier on with this... Probably a low-level cistern with the ball cock.
I think the cistern couldn't get any lower level than the one I've got.
Yeah, there were about two versions of those. One had the copper arm on it, and the other one had the plastic arm. There's about four different adjustments on those. If you couldn't adjust one of the tricks you used to do with the copper one, you used to bend it downward slightly.
Yeah, the problem with this one was, before we replaced it, was that the arm on that was too... I was scared that I'd break the whole thing because it was so stiff that if you give it a real good bend, then you're going to break the thing.
Yes, but... Isn't it odd that ever since we've had low-level cisterns, we had nothing but problems, and these modern closed-couple ones are the worst of the lot. When we had the old Burlington valveless and the Twyford's adamant and the old, you know, the high-level ones, they hardly ever got blocked. They hardly ever had problems with them. Ever since they put these blasted modern ones, well, since the 30s, it's just a pain in the backside.
Modern since the 30s, okay.
Anyway, apart from that, yeah, you know, I used to repair mechanical gramophones for the dealers on Portobello Road. That was about 75 when I was 17 years old.
Wow.
I also repaired clocks and watches for them, so I was pretty good with that. And the only other thing I would say about, you know, of my father's generation, if you went through the war, they would you had make and do mend, and he was very good, you know, in those days, you just go on with it. If you had a problem like that, such as your plumbing problem and that kind of thing, you just did your best to deal with it as it was.
Yeah, no, I think we have, what do they call it, built-in obsolescence with stuff. So all we do when something fails to work, we usually kick it out.
Yeah.
But when I was a kid and when you were younger, people would make things last. They'd try and fix them.
Mend and make do.
Yes,
and there are movements in different parts of the world, though. There are places in this world where they're starting to open mending shops where people can get things fixed. But
anyway,
the problem with a lot of electronics is designed to be thrown away anyway.
But also, upcycling is really...
Upcycling,
yeah. Because they have loads of programs on it about TV now.
Sorry, Danny, you were saying.
Sorry, Danny.
Before I get on to my unexplained subject, is that... I used to repair cameras as well, as long as they were pre-1950, because it's a similar sort of principle. And my father was a cabinet maker in the 30s, so that's going back a bit, but he's no longer with us. But apart from that, now, the unexplained thing, I've been meaning to phone up for some time, but now, there are... apart from the dreams thing, which has been going on for me for decades and decades, I see ghosts quite relatively frequently, usually in domestic circumstances at home, wherever I may be living, and in the street, etc. But apart from that, there was some other thing that I mentioned to your producer earlier on, and that is this. So relatively often I get to, I'm in a position whereby, usually in a casual situation, sometimes in the public house or something like that, it's not just because I'm sloshed, I meet someone and I think, I know you, don't I? I know you, I know your face, I recognize you, I know your voice, and when they speak you think, I've heard that voice before. And and sometimes you get their name, and they can't quite, and they say, no, we've never met before. And I say, are you sure?
And is that just because they look like somebody that you do know?
No, it's not that. It's something, I don't know what the heck it is. I've never met most of these people before in my life. And so often that has happened. The other thing I used to do fairly often was, cold read someone. And I don't know how the heck I did that. I'd meet someone, again, usually in a public house. It's not, I spent so much time in public houses, but over the last 43 years. I will bump into someone, and I would, before the 15 minutes is out, I would tell them their name, the job they do, whereabouts they come, not just from the accent, where they come from, how long they've lived there. And, it's happened so many times in the 80s especially, and they end up walking away because they feel...
it's an intrusion, they would feel.
Yes. They can't understand it, so I don't know how I do it, but there you are.
Okay, can you do it on the phone? Can you cold read me?
Everyone's going to say that. Not necessarily, no. But I think you sound like a very nice guy, I can tell you that much. Yes. But anyway, apart from that, now the other thing is... I do beg your pardon. But the other thing is dreams. You had a guy about the dreams. Now,
Ian Wallace.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He was a psychologist
who also reads people's dreams.
Yeah, I have dreams that come true.
Listen, we need to have a longer conversation when I'm doing the unexplained, because I think you've got something. I think we all have something, but some people, look, I may well be wrong. If our regulator is listening, we have to make these things, I may be wrong about this, but my personal opinion, and it's only my opinion, is that we all have capacities and abilities. We all have them to some extent, and some of us know how to tune into them, and some of us don't. And that's what it's about.
Yeah, well, whether we do or whether we don't, it comes naturally. And, this is why I can't understand, people say, oh, I don't believe in ghosts, I've never seen a ghost. How the heck would they know? Christ, I've lost count. I've just lost count in my time. I'm only 61 now. I've seen so many. But it seems to have kicked off around about 1980 more than anything else. For some reason, I don't know why, when I was 22.
Okay, I wonder what could have triggered that off. When was the last time you did it then? I mean, can you be standing in the supermarket queue and, I know a guy called Christian Dion, who's been on a lot of radio shows that
I've... around, he used to be on LBC, didn't he, about 30-odd years ago?
Yeah, I think they closed that radio station, but he is still around. And Christian's been a friend for years and years and years, and did some readings for me years ago when I first met him. But he used to say, you're going through a long dark tunnel. It's been really terrible, but you're going to come out of it.
And he had that saying, he said, that's life been a bit that, didn't he? Like a rasp, didn't he?
I'll tell you what, though, with the first time I met him, and however this works, sounds like you do a bit of this yourself, I was 23, and I went to interview him, and I was trying to be, I'm full of confidence and all the rest of it. In fact, I was shaking every time I went out to do an interview then, because I was, so scared of stuff and people. Yeah. And I went there to do this thing, and it was at his parents' house in Blackpool, in Fleetwood, I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
And before we did the interview, he said, okay.
At the other end of the tram line,
He said, I'm going to do you a reading.
Yeah.
And he told me stuff about myself and my character that floored me. I don't know how anybody, because I wasn't giving that away. I was pretending to be, look at me, I'm, from the media, all that rubbish. Oh, look at me, I'm from the media. Yeah. And he told me stuff that floored me. He also told me stuff, and I'll tell a very quick story here. He told me that I was coming to London and that I would do, I'd be kind of on the radio and sort of network styly. And it didn't happen, so I just thought, Yeah, that's my fault for listening to somebody like that. 7 years later, I am sitting in a radio studio and I'm about to read independent radio news across the nation for the first time at 9 a.m. That a great man called Douglas Cameron did not read a bulletin at 9 a.m. I read it.
Oh, yeah, I remember Douglas Cameron.
He was wonderful. But anyway, Douglas stopped doing the 9 a.m. And I, as an IRN reader, news reader, took over.
Oh, you're an IRN, so you must have been with them. I remember, yeah, because
so, but I'm sitting there at the desk. The point of this is, Danny, that I'm sitting at the desk, and I'm scared. I get scared. I get nervous. I'm not afraid to admit it. And I was very nervous about doing this because, you know, Douglas was the big name, and who was I? I was some kid who'd come down from BRNB in Birmingham, where I'd been working before that. So I look across the desk, and the guest on the program that will continue after I've read the news is Christian. And he looks at me. I didn't even know it was him. I had no idea he was on. He looks at me, he points at me, and he says, I told you so. That he, if he's listening, or if you know him and you're listening, that's a true story. Seven years had passed since he said that I would come to London and do those things. And he looked at me and he said, I told you so. And I was really calm for that news bulletin then. Sorry, Danny, I'm waffling now.
Yeah, so anyway, so, you know, I was interested what you said. You had an experience, or rather your father did, in Liverpool, whereby he was, you know, the stone tape theory, he was transported back to the 50s. That's odd, because I have never had quite that. But I've seen so many ghosts, heard so many, and usually you can smell them, you can hear them. Sometimes they speak, sometimes...
All right, Danny, let's do this, because Hayley's moving me on here. She's terrible. Right, yeah. Honestly, the way she shakes her finger at me. You wouldn't believe she puts it right in my face.
He's lying,
says,
Danny. He's lying. Everything he says is false.
If you can, Danny, send me an email through my website, theunexplained.tv, and I'd love to talk with you about all of that on my Sunday night show. Will you do that?
I can speak to you on the Sunday night show. Listen, the trouble is, believe it or not, I have several computers, I'm not computer savvy. I've never been on the internet, so I don't understand those.
Okay.
Well, you can call this number on a Sunday evening.
Yeah, call this number on
the internet. Technology.
Don't worry about the email then. Call the number on a Sunday evening. We'll take your number. In fact, we can do that now. And as they say, we'll get back to you. How about that?
Okay, right, yes.
Because fascinating to talk with you though, Danny.
Okay, right.
I mean, we've talked from... I've never had a conversation where we've gone from plumbing to ghosts. That's my kind of guy. Danny, thank you very much.
Okay, Johnny Gord.
Happy Christmas, Danny. Take care.
And same to you. Bye-bye.
Danny, in Kilburn. I don't know what to say after that. That was amazing. We must talk with him again. Brian, in Washington. Tynan Weir. How are you, mate?
Hello, Howard. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry
and
Christmas.
You're my guest.
How's the weather in Tynan Weir?
Pretty cold. It's been a bit icy the last couple of days. Honestly, it's been quite icy. I've never went flying. I've been outside.
God, they'll be chopping the ice off the trawlers, won't they, up there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it does get, especially down the coastal area, it does get pretty, like, nippy. Do you know what I mean? You know, if you're going out to Seaburn, not far from where I am, or Roker, it does get a bit quite icy and stuff, yeah. Pretty bad, mate. I've got a couple of questions I want to ask you. These are quick ones, really.
Okay. Is there anything complicated that I have to write down?
Oh, God, no.
Go on, then.
It's about food anyway, Howard. What's the main difference between Lancashire hot pot and Scouse? Because they seem very similar to me.
They are very similar. And you know something? I don't know whether I don't know whether I actually know that. It might be just to do with the way that they, I know that Lancashire hot pot has potatoes that are sliced in, you know, slices like crisps, thick crisps.
Yeah.
And Scouse, as I remember, my grandmother used to do it. And, you know, my grandmother was from the era when they perfected Scouse. So it would be, it didn't particularly matter what the meat was. And in fact, it was a meal that was like Lancashire hot pot. It was conceived when people didn't have any money. That's why they made that meal. Yeah. You could make a stew out of it. But my grandmother used to put, big lumps of potato in it. That's how we had it. The potatoes were floating in this stuff. And everybody had a different, I'll tell you the truth, Brian, everybody had a different way of doing it. Some people would use mincemeat. I've known people use mincemeat with Scouse.
Right. Isn't one of them, I'm not quite sure which one it is, one of them have red cabbage with it, yeah, or is that with both of them?
That sounds a bit posh for me, that. But I can tell you what, now that you talk about this, my grandmother lived on a cobbled street called Sweden Street in Waterloo in Liverpool. And they had an outside loo and a tiny little kitchen that was almost built like a little extension. And it had a big stone sink to it. And she had a freestanding little cooker. And I can see this great big iron pan bubbling like a witch's cauldron full of scouse.
Yeah.
Fantastic it was. It really, I mean, fantastic it was. Great. Apparently, yeah, I can tell you, thanks to Angharad Hari, who's done some research for me here, scouse originates from Norway. The sailors brought it, I know they called it lobscouse. There was a man called Fritz Spiegel, who used to document Liverpool history. Fritz, very famous, wrote a book called Learn Yourself Scouse.
Oh,
scouse
brilliant.
Is also the accent. And there would be, if you get this book called Learn Yourself Scouse, there are things like a, you know, like a mince pie. It's full of, you know, they call those flies cemetery because it looks like a load of dead flies, doesn't it? Yeah, flies cemetery. And also there would be the, I think we can say this, all the Liverpool sayings. I'm going off on one now. There'd be, if you were in an act of passion, but you didn't quite want to, you didn't quite want to go all the way with that act of passion. In Learn Yourself Scouse, the Scouse phrase for that is, I'm going to get off at Edge Hill, because Edge Hill is the train station before Lime Street.
Brilliant.
And Lime Street's the main station. So if you say, I'm going to get off at Edge Hill, that means that you're not quite going all the way, darling. Sorry, right. you don't need to know that, but I just thought.
Yeah. I don't know if you've heard of this before, but up here, you can get a thing called a stoney cake.
Oh, stoney cakes, yeah.
It's like a giant, like, bread. It looks like a frisbee.
I know.
And, you know, they really are nice. I mean, normally you have ham and peas pudding inside them.
I heard a wonderful broadcaster there called Mike Neville. You know who Mike Neville is, don't you?
Oh, Mike Neville, yeah.
He was the greatest television broadcaster, one of the greatest we've had in this country. He made his life in the Northeast, worked on the BBC in the Northeast, but mostly Tyne Tees Television, which sadly another ITV company that's gone. And they made a song about him. They said, if it's true, if Mike Neville says it, it's true. Do you remember that? Yeah. Yeah, and he talked about stony cakes.
Like, yeah. I think he came from Tynemouth, Whitley Bay. I'm sure that's where he used to live.
Yeah, he was originally an actor. But I mean, we can't talk about Northeast broadcasters, sadly, but we haven't got time, but they had some great people up there who are mostly unknown outside the region. They're TV announcers like a guy called Bill Steele. Great voice.
Oh, Bill Steele, yeah. Bill Steele, yeah. He used to be on, do you know what he used to do? He used to read the birthday cards. You know, kids used to send birthday cards at the 10Ts.
When they were filling in time and the continuity, yeah. I know they used to do that. See, down here in London, they didn't do those things. But on Tyne Tees, they would do the birthday greetings for the kids in between the programs. But that's a long time ago. Yeah. You had two questions. Quickly, Brian, what was the second one? Sorry to... it's my fault for gobbing on.
I was going to ask a question about... I mean, I've been going to the gym on and off now for the past 10 years, right? And I've never, ever been able to try and get a really fat stomach, so I just want to know. I mean, I've done, like, you know...
Well, you want a six-pack.
And you think Howard can answer that? That makes me giggle.
I mean, you know, there's being funny and being rude, Henry Hayes.
But before we came on, didn't we have a discussion about this before we came on air?
I know,
we had a discussion.
It hurts. I'll be fine, you know, I can take it, but... I don't think I'm your method. I once met...
Howard, I'll be honest with you.
Sorry?
Absolutely, I can't stand doing crunches, and I do them, but I don't seem to be getting anywhere with them.
No, well, I'd be if I tried doing those things, I'd be hobbling for a week.
It's not brilliant.
I tell you a quick radio, very, very fast radio story, one of many. I interviewed a woman in America whose trademark was Buns of Steel. Buns of Steel. Right. Very famous woman. She said, I can get you to do exercises and you'll have Buns of Steel. You know, you'll have tight everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, well, I was quite thin in those days. Yeah, I know you don't believe that, but I was quite thin. And then she came into the studio and she smacked me in the stomach really hard. And I went down like in a nine pin. And she said, you've got plenty of weight round the middle. You're an endomorph. And apparently, even though I thought I was thin, I still had to lose weight. Buns of steel, Brian. You need to get buns of steel.
And my final question before I go, if you don't mind. You know, because you talk about the Beatles quite a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, because obviously they're from Liverpool and they're fantastic. And that. So they have a radio station in Liverpool that do play Beatles 24/7.
There have been radio stations in different places who've done continuous Beatles. I don't think Liverpool has one. In fact, I think you've just had a very good idea there. Because for years, I'll tell you quickly, very, very, very quickly for Hayley, very quickly, that for years, Liverpool did not capitalise on the Beatles. And, you know, Harry knows this because of you. We've both got a Liverpool connection, so Angharad knows this too. Liverpool didn't bother much in the 80s, 70s, 80s. It wasn't until the 80s that Liverpool began to think, oh, we need a museum here, we need to... And that's true. There was a venture called Beatles City that was just ahead of its time. It failed, I think. But now there's a proper Beatles museum there.
Oh, you can't move for Beatles museums, Beatles shops now. Like,
and there's the Eleanor Rigby Hotel.
Yeah. Like, it's, you can't move.
You've also got John Lennon Airport now, haven't you?
When I was a kid, that was Speke Airport. And they built a new posh one, and they called it John Lennon, quite rightly. You know, the man is God, as far as I'm concerned. Hey, Brian, listen.
I'm going to have to go there, you know, before I go. I'll have to go there in 2020. I've been to Liverpool, back in the 1990s.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, listen, my last advice to you before Christmas is go to Liverpool and you will not regret it. I've said that to everybody who's ever asked me and they have never, ever regretted going. It is one of the finest cities on the planet, as far as I'm concerned.
Brilliant,
I'll do that.
Merry Christmas to you again, Howard, and to Hayley and to you, I guess.
Thank you, Brian, you too.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks very much for calling. 0344-499-1000 is our number here at Talk Radio. Terry Hughes in Canada. I'm sorry, I started saying something and didn't finish it. We would love to talk with you as a fellow Hughes, and who remembers me when I was on Capital Radio years ago, would love to speak with you. So I'm going to see if we can find a way of doing that. If you want to call in, then you can call 44 country code UK 344-499-1000. That's 44 UK 344-499-1000 from Canada. We will call you right back once we get your number, Terry. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late nights on Talk Radio.
From Talk Radio. Our phone number is 0344-499-1000. Nearly got it right then. You can text Howard Hughes and Hayley Hayes to talk and then a space in your message to 87222. Or on the Twitter, you can tweet Talk Radio at Talk Radio. Howard Hughes, Hayley Hayes, and Ankhaled on Talk Radio. See, I think we're missing a trick here. If you listen to the big American radio stations, they all have voiceovers like that, big, deep kind of, in a world where there was only one man, that kind of stuff. And they say, if you want to hear this now, call 599, whatever, whatever, whatever. I'm not going to give a number because probably somebody's a number. Hey, we talked about Mott the Hoople with all the young dudes, carry the new. And I said, what is a hoople? Thinking it was just a made-up word. All my life I thought it was a made-up word, like Howard Hughes. A useless or self-serving organization. A wasteful business run by incompetence. A public sector organization with no useful purpose. Is that Hoople or is that the BBC?
HMRC, probably.
Or other than to generate paperwork, it is the BBC. Other than to generate paperwork, internal reports and provide incomes for the executives, it is the BBC. It is not a Hoople.
I've never heard that word before.
We've got a number for Terry. We've got to call Terry in Canada. Terry.
Oh, he hasn't put it on Twitter, has he?
He has. Terry.
Oh, Terry, take it down quickly. Everyone can see that. That's public.
We'll write it down and
Let me deal with that. But Terry, please never put your phone number on Twitter. Please. Put it in, you can put, always put it in a direct message, but never on Twitter publicly.
But look, publicly. He was saying, Terry,
okay,
Terry
I've got
knows
it. Okay. Terry, take it down.
We're going to talk with Terry.
We'll get it sorted.
Oh, that's a bit of drama there, wasn't it, really? So back
we'll
to my list.
Get loads of weirdos calling him now.
Well, we're going to call him.
That's true.
Self-fulfilling prophecy, that one. You haven't, number five on my list of great ideas for tonight, we haven't got to it yet. Can we get to it? Because we might do some of this across, and you tell me what, I deliberately didn't tell you what this was.
Oh, go on then.
Before we came on air, because you'll probably think it's rubbish.
No! Go on, try me.
Can we say crap? Anyway, yes. You probably think it's crap. I was thinking to do like a Christmas never-ending story.
Right.
In which I give you, you're starting to be interested now. I give you one or two lines.
Oh, and then we
keep
going.
Of a ghost story.
Yeah, yeah.
And then my listener gives me the next line.
Yeah.
Does that work?
We'll need to that straight to air, definitely.
Yeah. So we can't do it tonight, but we'll do it across this Christmas period, I think. And I was thinking of something like, you know, it was a dark and stormy night. The lighthouse keeper put down the keys one last time.
Then he walked slowly down the narrow pathway.
The floorboards creaked in an ominous, rhythmic manner. See?
This is good. I'm enjoying this. That's a good idea.
Can I just tell my listener that this is how we've worked together loads of times on air. It's the first time I've seen her so infused with something
like
that I've
story.
Come up with. So if my listener, this is not for us, but you've got to remember that. My listener, if you like that idea, we'll develop that over Christmas. The never ending story. So we'll start with like, it was a dark and stormy night. The waves hammered like hammers.
Well, I can't follow that though, because I can't do the voice. I don't.
Well, you don't have to. I can't
do
the voice.
I know, but you make
either.
It sound really good with the voice.
Oh, I'm just. Yeah, I think Sam has just texted to make a very good point about Liverpool, and I think that this is true. Sam is from Highton, which is just kind of 10 miles sort of east of Liverpool. It was the constituency of Harold Wilson, the 60s Prime Minister from Highton. And Sam says, I think Liverpool's getting more popular now because of the nightclubs and the bars like Liverpool One. And that's true. Liverpool One is if you've never heard of it, look it up. It's a great area. I mean, it's as good as anything that Europe or America has to offer. It is like a conglomeration of the best shopping, the best bars all together. But when I was a kid, and maybe when Harry was a kid, it was waste ground. Most of it, a lot of it, was like waste ground. And they just built all over it. There's a nice new Big John Lewis there, and all the shops you want, and fabulous restaurants, and then just a stone's throw away, you've got a cinema, big cinema, and then you just walk across the road, and you've got the Albert Dock there. Sadly, these days, minus Richard and Judy. That was great when Richard and Judy were at the Albert Dock. Oh, wasn't that fab?
Yes. What was the weatherman? Fred.
Oh, Fred. Yeah. Fred the weatherman.
Fred the weatherman, yes.
Who fell in the dock.
Yes, he did, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
He actually fell off.
He did fall off, yes.
It's a cold, physically dirty and metaphorically. Water.
I mean, that, don't laugh about that, because that water, you know, I think it's not the cleanest of...
Yeah.
Well, no, it's probably fine now, actually. They probably cleaned it out. I'm being wrong. But that whole site, when my dad was a copper on the docks...
Yeah.
Was derelict. They didn't know what to do with it. And, you know, Mrs. Thatcher's era, it was closed, empty, gone. The docks were dried up, some of them. The buildings there that are now the ones that everybody visits, like the Tate, the Liverpool Tate. My dad used to say, you know, we're frightened to go around that dock estate, the South Docks there, because they've got rats as big as cats.
Oh.
And they used to get a man there to go and shoot them. Sorry, I'm talking like that now.
Like Rentokil. You've gone full scouse.
I've gone like that. You know, they used to get a man down there, you know, and they'd have a gun and he'd shoot them because, you know, they were as big as cats. You know, I tell you what.
As big as cats?
They were bigger than that, really, you know.
No.
They were.
I think she's better than you. That's really good.
Yeah. You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know,
we can have a scouse off.
Can I have a scouse off?
I can rough it up a bit if you want to, you know.
Would you? I can't rough it. See, it goes. It goes every now and again.
She loses
I can't
it.
It up
yeah.
so much as
I think the only problem that I've got, though, is that I've, you know, I'm living in the South, you know, like, when I was brought up in Liverpool and went to my school, anybody who was from Birmingham South was a Cockney.
Really?
Yeah, Watford.
You had a Cockney, you are.
Yeah, Watford, didn't it?
Yeah, we had a girl in school called Rosa. Yeah. Rosa Plant was her name. It was a real name.
No.
Rosa.
Oh, very that's nice. Really mean.
And Rosa was from Worcester. She was from Worcester, and we thought Rosa was posh.
Oh, right.
Because she was from Worcester.
But there's some really posh areas up north as well.
Oh, there are. I mean, look.
Like Chester, where all the footballers live, isn't
it? Yeah, I mean, that's the great thing about Liverpool is that there's so much for ride. I mean, what am I doing? Howard Hughes represents the Liverpool tourist board here.
Are you going for Mayor of Liverpool?
Mayor of Liverpool. No, I think that job's filled, to tell you the truth. But no, you've got Southport, which is, my parents live near Southport at the end of their lives.
Seaside.
Which is Seaside. And then you've got Crosby, where I spent most of my formative years. So Crosby, and literally where I was brought up, I can show you a phone however you want to of the place I was brought up in, which I took earlier this year. We might even tweet that, in Holden Road in Crosby, where I spent my, and when I got to like 20, I had a TV and radio aerial on it that used to rotate. It was huge, massive, massive TV aerial underneath that massive radio aerial. Wow. I was the only person on our street who was watching Central TV from Birmingham and Ulster Television from Belfast. And I could get in Liverpool, I could get Tyne Tees Television from the northeast. So people used to stand on the pavement outside our house and they would, when I was rotating this aerial. What are you laughing at, Harry?
I just like the idea of everyone just standing outside your house with, like, with, you know.
She's laughing at you.
Could I?
I know, just like the idea, because it's, I can imagine just it being such a scouse thing of someone coming past and being like, could you open your curtains? I'm trying to watch this.
Like that.
Would you move over? Ugh, too many people.
You get the television from Birmingham, but you're in Liverpool.
Yeah.
I don't know why I did that, but you know, my poor parents. Can you think my poor father? You know, Sundays in the winter, my poor father would be up the ladder. You know, and the wind would be blowing off the Mersey. Because at the bottom of our road was the beach, and then beyond that was North Wales. You could see the lights of North Wales from our house, you know, in the middle of our street. And my poor dad would be up this rickety ladder saying, Sonny, you're holding the bottom of that ladder. And he'd be up there with and he'd be holding an aerial that looked like it was some kind of offering above his head. And, you know, one for poor man. I'm sorry, Dad. I wish you were here to tell him. I'm sorry. You know, one false move, one false gust of wind, and he'd have been a goner. God. I'm so, where was I going with that? I don't know.
I'm not really sure. You were looking up a picture on your phone of Crosby, weren't you?
I was trying to find the picture.
Your aerial on top of your head.
Oh, hang on. Oh, wait a minute now. We might publish this picture.
Is he a Teletubby?
Because the peak... Excuse me?
What would your name be if you were a Teletubby? That's a question.
I don't know, really.
Isn't it?
Perhaps we can get
aerial
our...
aerial on your head.
I was going to say maybe we can get our listener to do that, but I think we may well be... We may be giving ourselves a problem there. What would I be if I was a Teletubby? Well, it's tinking...
Howie something. Howie hugs something. Mm. Howie hugs bottom.
Howie hugs bottom?
Yeah. That's cute, isn't it?
No.
Oh.
Howie hugs bottom. Mm. I think that's probably an arrestable offence. I don't think I want to be Howie hugs bottom. Oh, thank you for your consideration, but I don't think so. Oh, I can't find the photo. I can find me at the old talk radio building.
There's more time.
I'll find pictures of my equipment. If you'd like to see pictures of my equipment, my microphones at home. You see that? My mixers. What else have I got? There's me.
Where are you going to put all this stuff if you live on a narrow boat?
Oh, I don't know.
You put like a roof on it or something.
I'm talking details. I don't bother with details.
All right. You might be the only person with a narrow boat that you have to put like a loft extension on.
That's going back to the beginning of the... Now, excuse me, that's going back to the beginning of the programme. Where's the photograph now? There it is! Right, that's the house. Sorry, can I just apologise to my listener?
Might need to explain it. Yeah.
Yeah, this is the house in Olden Road in Crosby where I was brought up.
Oh, and when did you take that? Quite recently, or...?
Now, that's another story, because I get these waves of nostalgia, so I go up to Crosby, and I have a little drive round, look at my old school and things.
Oh, nice. That's
and
a good thing
I
to do.
I always park outside the house
where
I lived.
Do they not think, who's that weird man keeps parking outside
our
house?
They must, mustn't they?
Yeah.
So if you, I'm not going to give the number, but if you live in the middle of Holden Road in Crosby, and you wonder why over the years a guy in various cars, there was a white one this year, a white Toyota was parked outside there taking pictures of your house. It was perfectly innocent. It was just that was my mum and dad's
memories,
house. I have to, and can I just say, if you're listening, or you know those people in Holden Road and Crosby, you've done a great job with the pebble dashing. and the roof looks fine. It was never like that when we lived there. And you've taken my big aerial down. But that's where I was brought up.
Aww.
in nice. Holden Road, which is, if you're listening to this on the radio, that's about as much use as a chocolate fire guard. I'm so sorry for that. Hedy, are we, can I just, Harold, are we getting that music from Hedy? You know, the jingle that's been recorded for me, I think.
The just, do what?
No, Hedy. No, Hedy.
Well, she sent Hedy, it anywhere or done Hedy, anything are you with listening? It? Hedy, just call us and play it down the phone. It'll be
Hedy
fine.
Hedy says, how do I send you an MP3 for the show? It's going to be more difficulty, I think, than we can. You can send it to my Unexplained if you want to, but we're running out of time on the show. We've only got 20 minutes or so. But you can send it to theunexplained.tv, the email there. We can get it off my email, I suppose.
Yeah.
I can then forward it from there, and then we can hear it. Or just play
we'll just
it.
Just play it down the phone.
Play
it'll be fine.
Hedy, give me a chance to speak to you. Okay. What else have we got here? Sorry, I'm just,
We'll give Terry a call soon as well.
Yes, yes. And thank you very much to the person who makes a point about television programmes from the Albert Doc. That point
you
is noted.
You really need to learn how to put your phone on silent.
No, it's all terribly important. Oh, God, I've got an email about a show I'm doing on Boxing Day
okay.
here.
Right. Well, maybe
looks
that's...
like it's all... No, it's all falling apart. Hang on.
Okay, right.
Hope on
Don't get distracted.
Well.
Don't get distracted. Oh, gosh.
It looks like it's all fine.
Anyone got a joke they want to tell while we're waiting?
No, it's fine. Andy...
Who hides in the bakery at Christmas?
Ah, who hides in the bakery at Christmas? I don't know.
A mince pie.
That's now too silly. Andy says that in Liverpool... We had names for everything in Liverpool. They used to call the cats Jigger Rabbits. Now, Jigger was an alleyway. Do you see this Angharad nozzle, don't you? It was down the Jigger.
It's just like... I've definitely heard them all with my dad and just sat there having these conversations.
Oh,
I just love all the little scouse words, all the little
down,
scouse
going down the Jigger. Now, your task, Angharad, is to get us Terry from Canada.
Yeah.
Before we're off the air, otherwise we're going to run out of time.
I'm on it.
Right, I'm going to close my mouth and we're going to do some commercials and I'll tell you this is Talk Radio.
Talk Radio. Get up to the minute developments of all the top stories. Late nights on Talk Radio.
And you may ask yourself, well...
Talk radio. Frequently. Talking heads. Warwick, top tune that. My favourite bit of that tune is where he says, same as it ever was. Same as it ever was. Shame they've been listening to me. Nigel, Gerald, Mark, Terry, we're going to get to you soon. God, it's all happening at the end of the show. 17 minutes left now. And look what's happening. It's all kicking off. Let's go to Nigel in Maidstone, regular caller to Talk Radio. How are things with you, Nigel, tonight?
Merry Christmas, Howard.
Merry Christmas, Nigel. What's going on? Are you going to do us a Christmas carol?
I'll do a Christmas song in a minute, if you like.
Okay.
A cappella, it'll have to be, because I'm not allowed to make too much noise.
Okay, no, it's like being in my flat. I've got to be very... If I'm trying to do voiceovers and stuff, I've got to be quiet sometimes.
You have to be quiet on the internet, I suppose, as well.
Well, I do. If I'm doing podcasts or if I'm doing... You know, if somebody wants me to... There was a guy who wanted me to do some Christmas jingles for him.
Yeah.
And I had to say... you're listening to Gledders on HCRFM. And I was doing it in the evening, and I'm thinking my neighbours are going to hear this.
Have you got neighbours that can hear you then?
Because I'm very discreet about it. No, they can't. Anyway, yeah. Look, what's going on with you?
Yalding had the biggest flooding ever again. You know, one road is still blocked now for the last week, for about 4 or 5 days.
In Yalding?
You cannot get to Tunbridge, so I couldn't go to see my girlfriend for at least a week. So that's not very good. I was going for Christmas dinner, but that's off because the road's still flooded.
Oh, I'm sorry. We forget that we think other places, but Kent's got it too.
Yeah. Well, Yalding did get it quite bad. It came up through to up the other side of the village as well. But the only way you can get to place you can get to is Maidstone now, and that's a different direction to where I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would take me all day to get to my girlfriend's right the way round, so I'm going to have to wait.
Oh, yes, this was the year, yes, you met. I'm glad you're still together, this is good.
Yeah, but I explained to her yesterday, I rang her yesterday evening, she doesn't mind if I see her at the end of the week when it's all cleared up, the walls of it. It's going down gradually, and it was on the news as well, Yordan was on the ITV News.
I don't know what's going on with all this rain. Anyway, listen, because we're getting close to the end of the show, Nigel, I'm sorry that we're going to have to. Can you do the carol? Yeah, do the carol for us. We want to hear it. We want to hear it now.
I'll do you Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire, and that's
Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Go on.
Okay.
Opportunity knocks. Yes.
Oh, here we go. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, and Jack Frost nipping at your nose, and Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up as Eskimos. Everybody knows some turkey and some mistletoe help to make the seasons bright. And tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know.
Have we lost him? Oh, we've lost Nigel.
Oh.
Oh, this is terrible.
Call back later in the week, Nigel.
Call back later in the week. Oh, hang on, he's still there.
Still going.
And though it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
If I had a round of applause, we'd be playing it now. Thank you, Hayley. It's not very convincing, but it's the thought that counts. Hey, Nigel, thank you very much for that.
Okay, thank you.
So we'll talk again across the holiday. I'm sorry, we're getting towards the end of it. You know what it's like.
Yeah,
but we'll talk
again.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. Terry in Alberta, Canada. How are you, Terry? Are you really Terry Hughes?
I am, and I may be a long-lost relative of yours, Howard.
Ooh. Do you think so?
This is interesting.
Yeah, the voice is very similar, isn't it? Do you think?
No, I don't know, Terry. Tell me more.
I can even do like the Scouse, you know, like, hey, come head, la, come head, hey, how's it going, la?
Like, excuse me, this is a doppelganger. It's like I'm looking in the mirror. So, what's your story then, Terry? There's more to this than meets the eye.
Well, I used to commute into London in the early 90s, late 80s, and listen to you every day and wonder if we were related. Because some of us Hugheses had to come to North America to escape. I was on parole at the time, and I think you were too, but you survived in the UK. Are we related?
I don't know, Terry. I mean,
we must be.
Well, if we're called Hughes, then through some circuitous branch of the family, then I suppose we are.
Some circuitous branch of the family, I suppose we are. Like,
oh my God, it's uncanny.
You're finishing each other's sentences. You must be related.
We're finishing each other's sentences. We must be related.
I think there's something more. There's something more to this. Who are you really, Terry Hughes?
No, I am Terry Hughes, and I moved from the UK 15 years ago to Canada. And I do sound quite a lot like you. I used to be on radio myself.
Did you? I know your voice. I know, apart from the similarity, I know your voice.
Yeah, I know your voice. Yeah, I remember your voice. This is weird, isn't it?
We should do
a double act.
I think we should.
You were talking about the northwest of England. I had an email from a friend of mine in the northwest of England today, actually, and I was a bit worried because he said he had a Wigan address.
Okay. Oh. Deary me. The sense of humour in Canada is slightly different from ours, I think. Little lost in translation. What do you do in Alberta, then?
I'm on the run, but after this call and putting my phone number on Twitter, I guess I'm done for.
I suspect so. I can hear the sirens now.
I'm in a technology. So I moved out here to enjoy the wilds of Canada and to, what's the word, proliferate, profligate the Hughes name?
Well, you're doing that. You're doing that. I mean, my grandmother was McCreef, and that's a common name in Canada. I don't know why I'm telling you that, but it is. It's a common name in Canada.
Are you serious?
I've never been more serious in my life, Terry.
Never heard that name.
Oh, check it out. You'll find them. And, you know, do you like it? You must do because you stayed there. But, I mean, is it a good living there?
It is, yeah. Canada's a great place for Brits to come to. Good cost of living, cheap cost of, quality of life is good. If you like snow, I'm looking out my window now, seeing snow coming down, which is very festive, of course. I know you haven't got snow there in the UK this week, have you? You got lots of rain and stuff?
I mean, it's depressing, really. Today's been quite sunny, but why are we talking about the weather? But today's been quite sunny, but we've had weeks and weeks of rain. I mean, it's just depressed the hell out of me.
I'll listen to the whole show.
Terry, unless there is a hidden secret you're about to tell me, or some underlying ulterior motive, I think we're done, but happy Christmas.
No.
Is it freezing cold, by the way, in Alberta? Is it freezing cold at the moment?
It isn't at the moment, but it can get down to, like, minus 30-something.
Oh, God.
I saw a brass monkey with a soldering iron last week.
Well, you know, in the old BBC guidebooks, that date back from like the 30s, and I think they were still using until recently. They used to say, jokes about brass monkeys are banned. I've never quite known why. But I think I've had extensive experience, including recent experience, that proves that to be absolutely true. Terry, we will talk again. Thank you very much now that we've got your number.
I'll absolutely call you again. Love to talk to you. Love to talk to you.
You too. Thank you, Terry. That was a surprise.
Great Christmas.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bobby, thank you very much for your tweet. Can you send me those sound files of ghosts that you recorded? Can you send me those things? If I've sounded slightly distracted, I'm trying to get Hedy's jingle off my email so I can forward it to you.
Can you just press play on the phone and put it near your mic?
I can't because I've got to open my email first, and I'm trying to get the password right, which I'm not going to turn the on.
Hedy, if you're on Twitter, can you direct message me? Hedy.
It's really sad that I can't talk and do this on my phone.
That might be easier.
I know. Oh, here we are. What's this? Now, this is interesting. Okay. Okay, I'm going to try and forward this, but while I'm doing that, is this a nameless person? I'm just talking to my technical producer here.
So, essentially.
Essentially.
We don't know essentially. Is the answer.
I've no idea who it is. It's a lovely surprise. I went to say hello and I actually got it straight on the line.
Go for it.
Hello, caller. You're on talk radio. We used to say that in the old days of radio. Hello, caller in Bedford. Can you hear me?
Hello, Howard Hughes and Haley Hayes. I have got my mate to produce a jingle for you. I will then perform my jingle and you decide which one you prefer.
Well, okay. I feel you should.
Haley Hayes on talk radio.
Oh, this is brilliant.
Oh, please work
one more. We've got our own jingle.
Yeah. Call in with whatever you want.
Now, time for my jingle. Hit it. Oh, baby, Howard Hughes is on the air. Haley Hayes is also there, and they're taking your calls. Yeah, it's Gerald on the mic, and you best be on your bike, because I'm tearing this place down. Psych. Howard Hughes, he reads the news. Haley Hayes, she produces for days. And I'm Gerald. Gerald 2.0. Peace out.
My God. I wasn't expecting that, Gerald. If that is your name. Thank you for that. People are playing tricks on me. Now, Haley,
yes.
Plan of action here before we talk to Daryl.
Right.
Who's coming up and coming at you next. Well, with a bit of luck. I've sent it to you.
Right,
we've got
okay.
Haley's jingle, but it's gone to your personal email.
Right, okay.
Are we going to be all right with that?
Yes. Maybe, okay. I don't know if we can be able to do it quick enough tonight. Maybe okay. We keep that left for later in the week.
Hedy, listen, it's just because I've been so slow getting that thing.
We've been technology challenged.
We'll hang on to it for later in the week, yes. Hedy, but please be there, okay, through the week. You know, don't desert me in my hour of need. And believe me, it is an hour of need. And talking of hours of need,
hello,
Daryl Morris.
I'm not going to lie to you as well. You know, Howard, you're going to need that content, aren't you, for later in the week? Because it's about to dry up big time.
Come on. Do you want the MP3? Do we want to fill 30 seconds?
Haley, we never have to fill 30 seconds on that. Can I just say, with that hooded top?
Merry Christmas, everyone. Oh. Howard Hughes is chatting now. I'd rather hear his scouser cheer than that idiot, the cow. The ghost of Christmas Canic is haunting radio, bringing you some Christmas woo and Becky's on the show. Merry Christmas, everyone. Howard Hughes is on the dab, bringing tales with spooky wails. Tune in, it's really fab. He had a broken boiler. Repairman made a call. I must insist, Dave didn't exist. He's got no friends at all.
This person knows me too well.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Double H is on tonight. Not in the goose that was so spruce. Calm down, all right. Haley's in the corner, keeping things in line, making sure he plays the Cure or Mistletoe and Wine. On the first day of Christmas, my TV gave to me.
Is this the album?
On the BBC.
Well done,
Heddy. Heddy on the guitar.
Yeah.
I haven't got a word, but astonishing we could start
with. We've got a talented audience.
That's very good. I like Heddy. He's a nice guy, Heddy.
Now, you know, you've changed the way that people speak in this country. Because when people say, will you DM me? They don't mean messaging. They mean Daryl Morris.
Will you Daryl Morris me? Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
Daryl, hit me with your rhythm stick. Daryl Morris me. So what's on your show then after 1 o'clock?
I don't know. Who cares?
Well, we've just made it up for three hours.
It's
Christmas.
I came in here with, honestly, notes that I've made.
Yeah.
Copious notes.
Yeah.
We didn't use any of them.
Out the window.
Out the window.
Tis the season, isn't it? Tis the season just to drift in to Christmas.
Well, I think so. But I'm a bit worried you saying that, because I'm here for a chunk of this. Well, unless the boss has other ideas.
Yeah.
For a chunk of this week that... we may well dry up.
I don't think you're going to dry up. That was not a reflection of your ability, Howard or Haley, your ability to produce. I'm sure that this will be a fine, fine bastion of the Christmas schedule.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that, in terms of content and what's actually going on, this bit's okay, but when it gets to actual Christmas and the bit in between, it's a right old struggle, isn't it? Let's be honest about it.
But I've got to say that I think I get this sense that people with the election, with Brexit, with all the stuff we've had to deal with this year, people have had it. They're just going away. They're switching off. And you know what? I don't blame them.
Yeah. Yeah. So we talk to ourselves for a bit.
Exactly.
Until they come back next year.
So in the space of 10 seconds then, what's on your
10
show?
Seconds. Some of the best bits, because we can't be bothered to come up with original content ideas. So some of the best bits.
All right. Really. It's going to be better than that, because it's the best bits. I'm here tomorrow night. Good night. Bye-bye. Good night from Haley.
Good night.
We are Talk Radio.